Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I am your host, Chris Spangle. To my right is Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you doing?
Doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing real well. And then across from me is Chloe Anagnos.
Hi.
She's drunk as fuck on sangria right now.
No, I'm not. I had half a glass.
She forgot deodorant. She's undoing her pants. She's farting everywhere. She's a mess.
It was not an actual fart. It was a threat of terrorism.
Brian killed us.
Yeah, no, totally. Hashtag.
None of that happened.
No, it's all fake. No, I had to stop myself. I promised I wouldn't talk about that, and like within the first 30 seconds, I almost brought it up. Listeners, you are getting a treat. You are getting three episodes in one day.
So are you doing them all? Releasing them all?
I'm going to do them all at once.
Awesome.
Wow.
And then we're taking next week off. Normally, we don't ever record in December. We had
the reunion show at the beginning of the year last year.
Yeah, and that's the only one that we'd done the last 2 years. We had taken it off. And hold on, my foot was touching something. I'm wearing giant reindeer slippers. Look, check that out, Greg, down there.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's
who got you those?
Dean from work. And so normally we don't even record over the holidays, but I loaned my SD card to little Jeffrey Vibbert, and he had two podcasts on it. And so I haven't been able to get I finally got the files back from him right before we went on vacation. And we've not talked about school shooter stuff and all that jazz.
Because the one with Brett Bittner,
it was Paris.
Yeah, it was right after the right. So that may not be entirely relevant at this point, but
it deals with anti-terrorism, so it'll still be relevant. And then we did Lions of Liberty with Mark Clare. So
yeah.
So check that out and listen to his podcast. It was a fun interview.
Oh, I like. Yeah, they're kind of the West Coast. We are libertarians.
Yeah, and then we're going to talk about what are we going to talk about today, Greg?
We are going to talk about, we're going to do a Democratic debate recap.
Yes.
And Chloe is totally prepared to the libertarian level of preparedness. So
yes.
Inside and out, comprehensive notes.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm here.
Then we're going to talk about how the appeal of people like, you know, we're going to tie it into a little bit of Trump, because Trump was really the fourth candidate on stage in the debate that, you know, didn't even have to be there.
Right.
Yep.
And how his appeal sort of ties into culturally this nationwide ring of school shooting threats, and what's going on, and why all these, you know, basement dwellers are creating a atmosphere of terror and leveraging, you know, the ISIS threat out in California, and what's wrong with America? Why isn't America great, and how do we make it great again?
Well, first, let's talk about, let's play this little jam. I have no idea what this is, but I know what the song contains, and it's Happy Days Are Here Again. Lindsey Graham dropped out of the Republican presidential race today.
That's right.
Yes.
I didn't even know he was still running. The most memorable moment from Lindsey Graham's race to the presidency was when Donald Trump gave out his phone number.
And then you decided it'd be funny to do that to me.
I did.
Yeah. You really like giving out my phone number. You did it the day I was banned. You did it. You've trumped me twice.
I have. Well, you deserve it. You make memes of me fucking Justin Bieber in the ass.
That was a long time ago.
It was one time.
Yeah.
There's no statute of limitations on Bieber fucking. All right?
Although,
look at Selena Gomez.
He's like basically slept with all the Kardashians at this point. So the guy, I mean, he like saw Mrs. Robinson and decided to just go ahead and live it out.
Listen, he is his new album is fire.
I don't listen.
You haven't listened?
No.
What do you mean?
I mean, I probably should, but you know I'm all about. Oh, come on. That was cheap.
T-Swift.
I listen to T-Swift. Yep. It's all about T-Swift.
I just listened to Taylor's.
Oh, yeah. It is all about the Taylor Swift.
She's drinking sangria.
And I just had a Starbucks.
Right.
So I'm about as basic as you get.
Yeah. She is. She does Miss America pageants.
Yeah, but, you know, those got more edgy since JonBenet.
Lenz, come on.
Sorry.
Do you know who killed JonBenet Ramsey?
No, I don't.
You don't talk about that in pageant circles?
No. She did little kid pageants. I never did those.
It's all the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
So you might have an opinion on Steve Harvey.
I do.
So at
I
the
just, it's just sad.
Set that up for people who aren't familiar.
Sure.
If you haven't watched Steve Harvey fuck up the Miss Universe pageant royally, it is unbelievable to watch. He read the card wrong and announced the wrong winner. Miss Columbia won, and in reality, on the card, he said Miss Columbia won. In reality, Miss Philippines won.
How do you get that wrong?
And it was super easy. He showed the card, which did not help him at all. Like, I think he was trying to, like...
Like Chile or...
Right. And I think my decade of pageant experience can help probably explain some of what happened.
Okay.
So, for anyone that has ever watched the Miss USA or Miss America pageant, the host, it's always a big show at the end of the program when the judges hand them the final ballot and they read from the card and they say, okay, you know, here's your top five, your top three, whatever, and then here's your winner.
Right.
Well, I think what had happened was because you have all of the people that are working with the judges that audit all of the scores and put everything together for a national program like that when it's live television, multiple people know who the winner is before the general public do. Mm-hmm. I mean, people that are running social media, you got to have a press release done, all of this stuff, right? So I'm thinking what had happened was because I had a few friends of friends that were actually there. And
right.
Apparently the teleprompter said the winner was Miss Columbia.
Oh.
So what I'm thinking is there was either someone that also messed up with the teleprompter, because I don't even think Steve Harvey was actually looking at the card. I think he was looking at the teleprompter. Some intern got fired last night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what ended up happening.
It's an inside job, if you will.
I mean, it was an inside job.
Yeah.
But I will also say that I am hand to heart here. I have a friend that was a former runner-up at a national pageant, not the Miss Universe or USA system, another one. And she put on Facebook last night, she said, you know, I'm pretty sure this was an inside job. The pageant system was sold. Donald Trump sold it. There's always controversy year after year. I mean, you go on Wikipedia and there's always some type of controversy with it. And she thought that it was a cheap media stunt. And I
sure.
agree.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah, that's a great point, because it is definitely watched. And it is a big part of, I guess, you know, it is something that's like an American tradition
right.
or a world tradition, but it's lost some of its allure and, you know, coolness. And this created a social media storm.
Well, and
memes.
Mean,
I mean, hell, you've been meme today with it.
It was, yeah. I mean, it's hilarious.
Your face is on a meme right now on your Facebook page.
It's absolutely great.
That Greg has been doing during the first 7 minutes of the show.
Oh, gosh. There's another one.
It's so amazing.
Oh, no. I'm a little nervous. I'm pulling up my
Facebook
right now.
It's not bad. I would never do anything that actually made you upset.
Oh, that's really bad, and I'm not going to put that on my Facebook. Wait, did you post it on my timeline, too?
Oh,
yes,
tagged.
Add it. Quit being such a pussy. Jeez.
I'm not.
Here's the thing about kids, okay? And you're a kid. How old are you?
23.
Right, 23. Young, anybody under the age of 28 really gives a fuck about everything. They really care about everything. They haven't learned yet that, like, things don't really matter.
Right.
Like, it's not all okay.
Yeah, there's no reason. Do not be upset.
Right.
I know.
I think this ties into the school shooter stuff, too. So,
it absolutely does.
But right. I have just found that in my long list of, in my experience of dating young women, It's just like, and young friends and working with college students at the Libertarian Party of Indiana, they just really care about everything. Everything is so important. And then you get 32.
Feel the burn.
Right. You
right.
get like to 30 and you just realize things don't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody's opinion is. It doesn't matter like the scripts that are written for you by your parents, like
right.
My daughter needs to go to college and she's going to do this and then she's going to become a orthodontist and if she doesn't do that then it's blah blah blah. My son is going to
be
a youth pastor, and if he doesn't that, then I'm gonna
right.
Like it just, and then you get to 20, and then you get to 25, and you're a huge disappointment to your parents.
Yeah, no,
everybody is
firsthand,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because Chloe is brilliant and successful and adorable, and
thank you
has been in all these pageants. And her parents, I'm sure, are very disappointed in how she turned out.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and I will say some of that, I unfortunately, I'm a little bit younger than you guys, but I'm from the generation that grew up on social media. I mean,
yeah, that's true.
MySpace, Facebook, Twitter. I mean, that was all. I mean,
the
by
curated
the time I was,
version of yourself.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it was always such a just sad thing that, you know, your whole life was on social media to a certain extent. And, you know, you have to be friends with your pastor and you have to be friends with everyone. And
yeah,
how
dare you have to present this perfect version of yourself.
Right. And I don't want to say that I'm always one of those people that has to present a perfect version of myself, because I mean, I'm not perfect and I don't think anyone is.
I feel like
is,
you're a perfectionist though.
Well, not necessarily perfectionist. And as I've gotten older, I've, you know, not cared as much. Mm-hmm. But it's just one of those things where when it comes to social media or, well, how come you don't post enough or how come you don't do this? It's like, I'm just tired of the drama. And I mean, my life, unfortunately, a lot of it has stemmed from drama on social media. Mm-hmm. But I think that's in
that's because, like,
basic
your passion is a competitive passion.
Well, oh, yeah.
I mean, you literally vie for I'm the most perfect specimen of a 17 to 24 year old in
right.
Indiana.
Right.
Like,
absolutely.
That's a perverse
so your friends
framework
suck.
To view the world and be brought up in the world.
I also think it's the age, because I don't have any of that kind of drama through social media just because of my close friends and my family. I mean, it's, and I post whatever I want whenever I want, and there's no drama around it. And it's just because I'm not going to put up with it. I'll just delete you. But nobody
right.
really, there's no drama. I mean, I don't care what people's opinions are generally. I mean, I deeply care about the people that are around me and what they think, but even then, at the end of the day, I won't listen. That's part of my charm.
Yeah, like when you delete someone or you get rid of someone, it's not because, oh, what that person thinks about me really bothers me, and I don't want to be subject to that. It's, this is just an annoyance, and I'm not devoting any more time to this.
Exactly right.
I'm aborting that person. Social media abortion.
Yeah, and if you unfriend somebody under the age of 28, it is such a huge personal attack.
Oh, absolutely.
Like World War III has
broken. Well, there's the app or the Twitter app, like Who Unfollowed Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's,
yeah. It is dumb.
I mean, hell, there's another startup, that Clout, that's entirely based on your social media influence. It gives you a score.
Right.
It's like.
Yeah, so I think a huge part of growing up is just learning that what you think is most important, what everybody else thinks and what everybody else's direction for your life is and what society's. I mean, Maya is the one who really taught me this more than anything. It's about being true to who you think you are, who you want to be, and what you want out of life. And everybody else can go suck a dick if they have a problem with any of that. And
right.
somebody will always have a problem with who you want to be. And sometimes it may be your parents, which can be painful. But at the end of the day, they're not the ones paying the bills. And if they're the ones paying the bills, you got to let them stop paying the bills so you can start, you know, doing what you want in life. Otherwise, they're
self-actualized.
Yeah, you're under your mm-hmm. You're under. I mean, if you are boomeranging back home after the age of 21, if you're living at home at any point past the age of 21, it's really fucking miserable.
Unless your parents forced you to go to college and you didn't want to go to, and then they didn't help you pay and you had to load up on student debt, then it's
yep.
totally
yes.
okay to give them return serve.
Right. We have a friend who's close to 30 who's living at home, and it's just like their mom is just every 5 minutes telling this person what to do and how, I mean, it's insane. It's like they're 14 again.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going back home is just the worst. So if you were, we joke about living in your mom's basement. If you were actually living in your mom's basement, mazel tov. I did it till I was 26. It's the worst.
Yeah. It was a, you know, part of the Libertarian Party and their, I'll say frugalness.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I just, man, it's such a, like, you should post that. What I'm trying to get at, Chloe, is you should post that 60-second video of me staring into your camera phone on your Facebook page. And you're like, I'm not going to post it. I have people. There's things. I'm like, it's me looking into the camera. And I hacked her phone, because you can get to the camera on an iPhone. You can't open it up if there's a lock.
Right.
And so you can get to the camera. And so my new bit is I take your camera and I just, for 60 seconds, record a close-up video of my face, and I'm creepily smiling and look directly into the camera, and I don't move for like 60 seconds.
It's a lot like the scene in Silence of the Lambs where Buffalo Bill is up above, you know, up above the well.
Oh my gosh. I'm gonna tweet it so that way people can easily find it.
All right, cool. What's your little tweet?
It is, okay, so I have a really difficult name. It's @Chloe, CHLOE _ Anagnos, A-N-A-G-N-O-S. All right. Both of these clowns follow me.
And
so.
We Are Libertarians will retweet it. Okay. So check our main account. It's We Are, the letter R, Libertarians. Are Libertarians.
My contacts are gummy. 1 second. I'm trying to post this.
They're gummy.
Carry on.
What's gummy mean?
It means like they're gummy. You guys don't wear contacts?
No.
No? Okay. It means when you have your contacts in for too long and mm-hmm. they're starting to like kind of get dry and you should probably take them out. And like, you know, when like you've got a like old gummy bear or like old pack of like fruit snacks that's been sitting under your driver's seat for a while and you pull them out and like they're really like
ew.
Gross. That's how my contacts feel.
I have some. But what does it have to do?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the contacts in your phone. I was like,
no.
What is the metaphor she's going for?
That's why I said I can't see my phone. Like, hold on, my contacts are gummy.
Gotcha. I thought you meant like it was being wonky. Your contact app was not working effectively.
That was
the longest explanation I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I'm busy.
I'd never make it in her generation because I wouldn't be able to stay up with the vernacular.
I'm busy a phrase that young basic white girls are using? What is that from?
I don't know.
I hear young white basic girls say I'm busy all the time. It's like I really like you. I'm busy. I get that one a lot.
I'm not really sure I can bring it up at our next meeting though.
Please.
If you want.
I know it's over. Cool. It's over
don't
at the
Lululemon. Don't you guys have Monday night chapter?
No, it got moved to Sunday night because too many girls, like, Monday was just too difficult. Well, and they were hungover, and it was just a big mess. So we do Sunday night, and then Monday night, if, you know, you don't already have an outstanding hair appointment, we go and get, like, mani-pedis.
You're not, like, the alumni chairman or whatever that goes back?
No, I'm social media chair.
Still?
Yeah, I know.
She won't post shit on social media yet.
Yeah. Worst troll ever.
I know, I'm terrible.
I made her feel bad because at some point I jokingly said that she was bad at Facebook. And so like the first thing her little insecure self walked in here and she's like, am I getting better at Facebook? Like,
yes. No, I have been like, who is this girl? Her comments have been like with Brett as a at his cotillion
as a
Southern Belle.
And I do declare.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that is like so un-Chloe. What if someone saw it, judged it, and thought, she's a racist.
Shut up.
We should talk about
the debate.
Well, yes. We'll get to your social media shenanigans later on, I guess, then. Yeah,
we'll talk about that because it'll be related to what we discuss.
Okay.
Yeah, I took notes.
So Greg's had another week, quite the banner week of social media. I think in the last one you were on a 3-day ban.
Brett
was here.
And
so,
it's because I made this beautiful painting you have in your home
that's Chloe,
of salami.
You like my meat?
No.
And I improved it with some hitspiration, and some people took offense to it, and so I was in the gulag, and Zuckerberg censored me for 3 days.
You have a Jewish friend that has since been deleted that had like a great uncle 3 times.
Don't say deleted. I could get in trouble for. Can't say Jew, delete, gone, any of that stuff.
Are you censoring me, bro?
Yeah, I'm censoring you. I am giving a safe space to our listeners.
I'm just saying, it's amazing that your Jewish friends get upset when you post glowing Hitler quotes on your Facebook page.
I know. It's a weird world, man.
Crazy world.
I know.
Tyler and I went to the Colts game yesterday, and we're walking by, and they have safe spaces for if there's a tornado, and Tyler was like, oh, that's where Greg hangs out.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, and I just make wind noises.
So this Democratic debate, I didn't even hear it happen. What happened now? What?
3 people stood up and talked about how they would make the world better in lame anecdotes, and it was really vague. And at some point, they started talking about the China and the White House, and then I just tuned out.
See, I actually, I didn't think it was quite that bad. I thought it was there were some interesting elements because there's some backstory. Bernie Sanders' campaign had raised $1 million Friday.
Yes, that was interesting.
And he, the way that the voter database works within RNC and the DNC is there's one central database, and then whoever's campaign has brought them in or maintained them in their database, that's the campaign that has access to them, and they're not supposed to be able to see each other's during the primary.
Right.
Turns out a new database management provider was hired by the DNC, which was also a contractor that is friends with the Clintons.
Mm-hmm.
And Debbie Wasserman Schultz approved the provider coming on as the new manager of the data. And because of a firewall glitch, some staffers on Bernie Sanders' campaign were able to access and not like download or export Hillary supporters. And one, she's the preeminent nominee. Like her voter database is enormous.
Right. Absolutely. You know?
So they were able to though look at it and take a peek and see who the names were and yada yada yada. And right now you're being you're in the surveillance state.
Now. NSA's watching.
I don't know what he's doing.
I was Snapchatting her sister Kat.
Oh wow.
Great.
Like super close up. You see this. I wish I could post this, but
he really is Buffalo Bill.
I know. Yeah. He's weird.
Like her voter database is enormous.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, so they were able to look at it and take a peek and see who the names were.
That is so cute.
She started rubbing her nose and I had it like right up on her face. It's great. You can follow me on Snapchat at @cspangle.
So this goes on, and Bernie finds out and immediately fires a staffer, and they start an investigation into what actually happened and report it to the DNC. And the DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, responds by banning access to their own voting database. So Bernie Sanders' own voters.
He couldn't get to his own
couldn't
database.
Couldn't get to his own because of the breach. And this happens, you know, the day of the debate after he had just raised $1 million, or the day before the debate after he just raised $1 million, and it outraged the vocal, true progressive left that is behind him. And they got a petition signed for 40,000 signatures for Debbie Wasserman Schultz's resignation as DNC chair because she's seen as
tilting the scales.
Yeah, toward Hillary. And you don't even need to tilt the hill. One, Bernie Sanders isn't a Democrat. He's not.
No,
I mean,
he's
not. Caucuses
he's
with him, but he's not. He's an independent in the Senate, and you know. So, is it really that bad that her own data, you know, the chair of the party that he isn't a part of, has access to his data?
Right.
Like that that was never really brought up. And so, what ended up happening was Bernie's campaign sued the DNC. That scared the hell out of the DNC, and so Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and who's awful, like literally the worst person on the planet.
She is. She's a real dumpster.
Yeah, she's the American Hitler.
Okay.
I hate
That's
her.
A little strong.
That's true. That is true. But, however, I really don't like her. And so she was
You just called her Hitler. Of course you don't.
I know. She was on the Sunday show with the campaign manager for Bernie Sanders, and she tried to spin it as, well, there was a slow response into the investigation by the Sanders campaign, and he holds up his cell phone, and he had responded immediately that night. And they,
oh, wow.
But they're actually not going to – so they reached an agreement, and they're not going to sue each other. Well, the lawsuit wasn't removed, so it's still dangling out there as leverage. Should she perform – should the DNC act favorable towards Hillary in any way at this point going forward?
Nice.
But that's how the debate began, was Bernie apologized to Hillary for the transgression, and that person had been removed and sort of clarified it.
Right.
I thought it was really kind of fishy, but I imagine – having managed a political party for a while, there are things that seem really reasonable and valid when you do them. And to outsiders, once that thing happens, it looks conspiratorial.
Right.
So I figured there had to be some sort of, like, I give the party and Debbie Wasserman Schultz the benefit of the doubt, but now having heard the explanation, it really seems like it was a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah, her problem was how she handled it in the press. It was a very poor way of doing it. Because, I mean, let's be honest. In Iowa, Bernie's close. In New Hampshire, he's leading. That's the only two.
Yeah.
He has no shot in the rest of the states. Except now, it showed him as the underdog who's, you know, the party doesn't even want to nominate him. And yet, he's the purist. And so, like, as a Democrat, like, if someone's a Democrat, I would actually understand you supporting Bernie Sanders. Because I believe he means everything he says. I think he is incredibly honest, and I think he's a good man that takes being a public servant seriously.
Right.
I think Hillary Clinton is the exact opposite.
Absolutely.
Right.
And
absolutely.
So the fact that you would be a supporter of her and not Bernie is like, you know, you're the person that would support Jeb, except in the Republican Party, that's 3%.
Right.
In the Democratic Party, it's an overwhelming majority because they're a Clinton. And, I think this is going to give some heat to Bernie and maybe boost him up in the polls, because then he raised... Every day he didn't have access to that database, they said it would be like them being unable to source where their $600,000 daily contributions come in from.
Hmm.
Absolutely. Well, and I mean, look at all of the people that are supporting Bernie. It's all people my age, that are young.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, of course,
it's the Ron Paul 2012 base a lot.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I know I have a lot of friends on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever, that are huge Bernie supporters. And I mean, it just, you know, you can't outrage the young voters, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. you just really can't.
So. No, because he has to have them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because the big elite donors like the Jeffrey Katzenbergs and those types won't donate to Bernie Sanders. Although they really liked him out in L.A., it's like, yeah, we really love Ron Paul, too, but we're not writing a check.
Right.
Yeah. We love Mitt Romney. You know, like, you know, Mitt can win.
Right.
But Hillary can win, but I think this was a strategic mistake because just because Bernie's on the left, he will actually have a legitimate shot at upsetting the establishment from a more purist perspective within a party. Whereas like a Ron Paul, even though he has a ton of appeal among libertarians and the liberty-leaning Republicans within the Republican crowd, it's still you're a Republican. So the young people, you don't... can't force myself to pull the trigger.
Which is, you know, code word for bigot and racist
You and Sarah Palin vacation
together.
Which is
true, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
know?
Well, the other aspect is that Democrats are more organized, and so libertarians are just not the type that are going to band together, and that was always a huge part. It's a huge part of the problem with the Libertarian Party, with the part of why the Liberty Caucus in the Republican Party doesn't work. It's because everybody's very independent, and there's always everybody has their own opinions on how things ought to be done. And there's
we shouldn't run a candidate because we're voluntarists and voting is for us.
And they're just less likely as people and politically to work together in a coalition or a group. And that's not the case in the Democratic Party with Bernie kids.
No.
I think they're more than happy to join the Democratic Party and change it from the inside.
Right. I mean, and they actually, I think there's a legitimate shot to because Bernie represents the ideological platform and really the foundations of what the Democratic Party originally was, you know, stands for of progressivism. You know, he's a progressive. He's a European style social democrat. He's not a Soviet socialist.
Right.
And they want that, or they think they do. And finally, someone's answering that call, and he's a grumpy, like, you know, grandpa, like a Ron Paul, but he doesn't have Ron Paul's, like, affability.
He doesn't have his charm.
But for whatever...
He doesn't have that Ron Paul charm.
Yeah, like, Ron does have something that's so immensely likable, you can't... Like, no one could hate him.
I know 24-year-old women, perfect tens... that would have sex with Ron Paul in a minute because they're so into his 80-year-old personality.
And they want to end the Fed.
And they're just so into him because he's so charming to them. Like, I never got on the Ron Paul train that much. I mean, now that I've seen Rand, I'm the conductor of the Ron Paul train. But, yeah, there's something about Ron Paul that is just charming and you love him and you want to be friends with him.
Right. And he seems so non-threatening and then you know, he just screams out truth and you're like, God, you know, but I just can't make myself vote Republican, even if he is the Republican nominee.
Right.
But Bernie, I think, can actually do it. I'll say, I think Bernie Sanders, not only do I think he should be the nominee for the Democrats, I think he gives him a damn good chance to win going forward. If he did win, he might not win the election, but it could be a Goldwater moment for the Democratic Party in that European-style socialist Democrat state in the United States.
Right. Interesting.
But you didn't watch it.
I didn't know. It was Saturday night. I was out doing things with people and girls and trying to touch boobs like every other man.
But you could have watched a recording. Night.
Yeah, but come on. I'm not watching a Democratic debate. I'm not even going to watch a Republican debate, and that's entertaining because it's got Donald Trump and Rand Paul, who I could consider voting for.
Yeah, and this was his most libertarian debate.
I heard he did really well.
I guess he didn't prepare, so he just went
good
and did it. So, like, you know, he barely got in. He got in because a Fox poll came out at 6 o'clock Sunday night, had him at 5th in Iowa.
Oh, shoot.
And so he was out until that came in a Fox poll, of all polls.
Right.
And then he gets in. And he's the first person, you know, to walk out on stage because he's in last place. And sure as hell, the second question of the damn debate goes to him. And he knocked it out of the park and just kept knocking out of the park. And then Chris Christie was getting some momentum about protecting people from ISIS.
Sure.
You know, because the San Bernardino people had no contact with ISIS and never pledged on social media. But
right.
They're ISIS. And Rand basically had the quote of the debate when he said, if you want World War III, this is your candidate.
Mm.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, it was the most strong he looked. And, you know, all the Atlantic wrote about how he was the only sober person on a stage of drunks. And just all the press couldn't have been better. And
It wasn't it the third most watched debate in presidential history?
Yeah, but I think all three have been the last three Republican debates.
Oh, wow.
Because it was the second was 25 million, the first was 18, and this one was 17.6.
Yeah, I mean, people say, oh, people aren't engaged in politics, but that sounds like they're interested in what these people have to say. 20 million people are tuning in to watch CNN. Mm-hmm.
Literally, CNN.
Which you normally has 1 to 2 million people watching.
Anderson Weeper, like... the CNN hasn't seen these ratings like ever. I mean,
no,
it's amazing.
And it's CNN.
And Donald was his most presidential, in my opinion. I don't know what you thought.
I didn't watch it, to be honest. I did not watch it.
What night was it?
Tuesday night.
I didn't watch it. I don't have cable yet.
It was actually right after the Christmas special we recorded with Jeff Vibbert.
Yeah, the Jeff Vibbert podcast. Go check that out. Hold on. Is this exciting? So... Yeah, the Jeff Vibbert podcast, Greg and I have been on it lately, and it's a comedic podcast occasionally, and then this last special, I ruined Christmas. So,
you really decided to play the role of Captain Depressing. I was wondering if you just wanted to get back at Jeff or what was going on.
Several people who were there like messaged me afterwards, not Greg, because he's not a friend, and said, hey.
I thought it was something, another element.
That was here? It was, yeah. That was part of it. But things were better afterwards. But there were several different things that were going on Tuesday that led me to have a panic attack, my first one since high school. And I was just very stressed out, and then everybody came over here to do a podcast, and I guess I was acting weird and in a bad mood, and I ruined Christmas. And
well, you called Jeff the C word.
I did. I was listening.
At a Christmas special.
I was listening.
On his
was,
own show.
I know. I went on his podcast.
Wait,
and
he called him Christ?
Yeah. No, cunt.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, that C word. Yep. Whoops.
Yeah.
I was listening and I was like, you know, everybody said I was really like grumpy on this podcast. I don't hear it.
No, it played well. It was necessary.
But I was like trying to be grumpy on purpose. Like,
yeah.
Trying to be the Grinch because comedy works if there's a conflict.
Right.
Like there has to be somebody causing problems and trolling and wrestling if you're doing comedy. And I go, you know, I don't think I was that bad. And as I finished that thought, Jeff, quit being such a cunt. And I burst out laughing.
And that's how Christmas was run. No, but so like it was right after that because we finished and I immediately went and watched it and I was like, well, I think he's handling other things, but didn't watch it at all.
No, I did not.
Man, yeah.
How can you not?
Like, I haven't watched a single debate this year. Not one.
That's the only one I've not seen.
Okay. That's forgivable.
Okay.
Because
thanks.
What am I going to learn by watching this?
Shut up, Lance.
What are you going to learn? No, I don't watch it for that. I watch it to see, one, it's been a very, the first two debates were very lovey. Like,
oh, yeah.
No one's difference is really other than Rand's got exposed. This was, we're going to force all these people to get into their riffs. And it was great to see that Donald dominates early, as he always does. But then he just backed off, and he didn't engage anyone in a way that would turn you off that could be your commander-in-chief. It was the most presidential and restrained he looked. Like, when Jeb Bush was saying you can't insult your way into the presidency, he just... mastered the backhand compliment. He's a very nice man, but
right.
He's low energy, and we need strength and intelligence. And you're just like,
what do you
man.
Think about Jeb?
No comment.
Do you think
low energy?
Low energy.
Low energy.
Is Jeb low energy?
I would say low energy.
Or is
absolutely.
He high energy like a rabbit?
No.
You don't
none
think Jeb's alpha?
No.
I think he's very alpha.
I will say though, the reason why I watch all of the debates is because obviously having a pageant background and a speech and debate background. I like to see who can carry themselves.
Right.
And if you cannot carry yourself, if you're like John or John Kasich, right?
Kasich. What's his name? Yeah, very pedantic
with,
and all over
the
place.
With
the
hands all over the place, if you're trying to land a plane, that's like speech and debate 101 not to do.
No.
You know what I mean?
But he just goes off the cuff. That guy is, you can't control him or otherwise he'd be the front runner.
Absolutely.
You know, he's beloved in the state. The Republicans have, if they don't, they've never won an election without Ohio.
Right.
The Republican Party never has.
Very true.
And, you know, he's got all the experience. He's serious. He's appealing to everybody, moderate. But for whatever reason, he is the professor that can't wait to expound upon the finer details of everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, whereas Donald just sits there and can you believe that your low energy has been the most effective political insult in the history of Republican debates?
It is amazing that
it decimated the number, the guy that is the son of a former president and the brother of a former president.
Yeah.
It with the $100 million in the bank. It wrecked his campaign so bad.
Two words.
That a guy that doesn't have any staff and is running on the news media has got an overwhelming... He's over 40% of Republicans, you know, like him as their candidate.
Well, and a lot of that, I think, has to do with presence.
Right.
If you... Okay, let's say Jeb Bush was in one room and Donald Trump was in another doing a press conference. And both of them walk in at the same time. Who do you want to get your picture taken with?
Oh, Donald, every time.
Absolutely. Who do you naturally gravitate towards? I mean, you can't teach someone, again, this is, you know, speech and debate coming out. You can't teach someone to have a presence. Like, that's not something someone else can teach you. If you're born with it, you have it or you don't.
I see. I was looking at polls after that, and Donald Trump actually tweeted something out. I will occasionally go and look at his Twitter. Rand Paul only went up 1%.
Oh yeah,
of people that watch it.
But that's because they're like, "Oh, I can't get behind Rand. He wants ISIS to be here." Like that's the narrative.
Right. And Donald went up 11 in a Fox News poll afterwards. I mean, more than anything, I'm kind of the reason I'm a little nonchalant about this, and I promise I will try harder in 2016. I said to Greg the other day, my New Year's resolution is to try harder at both the podcast and politics and paying attention. I don't know if... please don't hold Greg responsible for a lack of production and podcasts. The reason that we have done 40 this year as opposed to 52 is me.
We'll get back on. You know, we got a lucky streak with Edward Snowden for an entire year. And so this year's been tougher because Liberty's been on the downtrend.
Well, listen, people. Our lives have been busier and busier since we started a podcast three and a half years ago.
Had throngs of women throwing themselves at him.
It's not just that. It's work, and it's not even the women. The most difficult part for me is getting up at 4:30 every morning and then being busy through the day and then trying to do a three-hour extravaganza every Thursday night. I just watch the news. So,
or be outraged by something.
Yeah, so to have 35 podcasts in a year when most people, after... most people don't last 35 podcasts.
Yeah.
We're still going at this strong, so we're still going to keep giving you
stamina.
The content. Yeah, we still have stamina, and I'm going to try harder. But I will say I just don't... I look at this, and one of the reasons that I've not paid attention is that we're still in the media cycle, and Donald Trump is dominating because it is a media cycle still. But when you look at what Rand Paul said, I couldn't agree with him more. Wait until we get boots on the ground and you have to start building an organization and you have to start doing actual politics and you have to start going and knocking on doors. Wait until we get to Iowa and New Hampshire here in the next month or two.
See, I contend the opposite. I think he's wrong.
I don't know. I think that once you get to boots on the ground, that's traditionally where politics is made. I mean, it's the media stuff is fine, and the reason that Donald Trump is I mean, if Donald Trump were in the race, it would just be...
We wouldn't record. We would not...
No, we'd have nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
No, I think there would... Yeah, we wouldn't be talking about this. We'd be talking about other stuff. But you wouldn't have people dropping out so quick. He really has starved the room. I mean, most people were not... Most people, Rick Perry would have made it to Iowa.
Rick Perry didn't even ever appear on the main debate stage, and this is a guy that was the runner-up, basically, in the last time around.
Three-term governor of Texas.
And beloved by most vetted conservatives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If he hadn't put on those Rachel Maddow glasses, he might have had a shot.
But Trump has just changed the nature of the race.
I think he's changed the nature of the presidential election process forever. And I think Newt actually started it.
When he
won a state with no staff, just by blistering the press in that one debate, John King, and carried South Carolina with one staffer to hand out T-shirts.
Yeah, I do think there is some merit to what I'll call the Trumpification of the presidential race, where it becomes just a total media circus, and you've got to try and you've got to be an entertainer, you've got to be a performer instead of a politician to get any kind of traction. But I will be interested to see once we get to the caucuses and the primaries, how much the race changes, because I think it could spell the end of Trump. I've always kind of thought that, or it could be the validation of Trump and he becomes a nominee.
Yeah. And I think by saying in the debate that he was not going to run as an independent anymore, I think that behind the scenes, Rince Priebus has reached out to him and said, listen, you know, what can we do so we're not antagonizing each other, and look at going forward, if you were to be our nominee, what you would need in terms of support and coverage and that type of thing. Because the Republicans lose overwhelmingly if Trump runs third party.
Absolutely. You know, it's,
it doesn't matter if they ran, they could run Al Sharpton, the Democrats could, and that they'd win the nomination. Yep. And I thought that was a big, and then it was brilliant to see, everyone thought that Ted Cruz and Trump were finally going to go after each other's throats.
Yeah. I don't think that, did it happen though?
No, they couldn't have been nicer to each other. And it was funny because, have you ever seen A Beautiful Mind?
Yes.
You like that movie? Movie?
Love it.
Every time I look in the mirror.
Sure.
You can see your brain.
Yes.
In it, like, so before that movie, what John Nash's big discovery was the Nash equilibrium. Mm-hmm. Before that, everybody thought Adam Smith, the best outcome is when everyone pursues the same thing. Like, we're all vying for the top goal. His insight into economics was that it's not when everyone's vying for the best thing that you get the best outcome collectively. It's that when you pursue what's best for you. What that debate was about was that, will Ted crush Trump, get all his supporters, and everyone, and he becomes the establishment-backed Republican nominee everybody coalesces around. Clearly, there's some kind of alliance. Because the two both whiffed whenever, and they, like, you know, gave each other a fist pound mm-hmm. when they were asked to criticize each other. And by doing so, it basically keeps it a two-man race, and no one else has a shot to even jump in right. because they have everything sewn up. Trump has all the uncommitted, non-establishment, angry people. Mm-hmm. Ted Cruz has all the establishment-backed conservatives. And it really screws Marco Rubio because now there's no, he can't go and chase Trump's voters.
Right.
He has to stick to being Mr. even more establishment Republican, even though he doesn't even show up for his job ever.
Oh, I was going to say that. Darn it.
Who was it just that just came out and said Kasich Rubio was their dream ticket?
Oh, in the press?
Yeah.
Would it have been?
It was
Sheldon Adelson?
No, it was. It was like I'll Google search real quick. But, yeah, you keep talking amongst yourselves.
No, I mean, I want you guys to. I mean, I like the Democratic debate, too, because, like, I right. thought there were some great moments in it.
The one thing that I did see, and I mean, again, I think it's just internet overstimulation because, you know, I just read so much throughout the day, especially when I'm on Facebook and Twitter and everything. But I did see somewhere, I don't remember what poll it was, but it basically said that Hillary beats every single Republican nominee except for Marco Rubio.
Yeah, and I think
which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm. It was Ed Rendell, the former head of the DNC, former Pennsylvania yeah. governor, said that the Rubio-Kasich ticket or the Kasich-Rubio ticket scares him the most, which is because of what we've talked about, which is Florida, Ohio, which Republicans have to win. And
the percentage of the Hispanic vote. Republicans, if they don't get at least 21, it's over.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And the fact that Kasich can provide experience and balanced out with Marco's inexperience, yet Marco has the whole Hispanic thing going and the internet.
And he's the most natural politician and talented politician out there.
He's a fantastic speaker. He's a great debater. Yeah, so I think that would be probably the ticket that would win for the Republicans. I think Rand Paul would do really well if he were the nominee. I don't think he'd be a good VP.
No.
See, I think he'll never be president if he's not VP first.
Yeah, I don't think he'd make a reasonable. What does he bring to a ticket in terms?
Terrible.
Yeah, he doesn't. He doesn't bring. I mean, Kentucky.
He'd be
is not
a stickler
a state.
Too.
Yeah, he just wouldn't be a good vice presidential candidate. He's not a guy that can work well with others. he can't manage a campaign clearly, and I think he had to be on that stage the other night, or his campaign was DOA. I don't understand how he's in the race still, because, you know,
the money. I mean, his super PACs have a lot of money.
Had Cruz not gotten in the race, I think Rand Paul would be doing much better. And to me, he's the candidate that will bring the most natural crossover. He would be the one that would be most attractive to independents far more than anybody else. He just never got a shot.
It's that Republican disdain that doesn't, you know, he just never appeal. Like, Trump will, in my opinion, get way more independents because the independents are actually less politically oriented.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So when that's the case and they don't follow politics, a message of make America great again, let's kill the terrorists, you know. And it just came out in a study today when they conducted conducted a telephone survey about Trump and a telephone and then an internet survey. And they were, you know, monitored and conducted with strong research methodology and methods. But people, Republicans, when you're not subject to actually talking to someone else, have a huge bump in how much they support Trump.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's that, what are the, is it the Westermark effect or the Hawthorne effect, where it was that people worried about, Democrats worried with Barack Obama, whether on the phone, oh, yeah, we'll vote for Barack Obama, and then they wouldn't vote for a black man. Like,
right.
You know, blue-collar Democrats.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what is happening with Trump. Republicans who would like at dinner parties won't say, oh, you know, I like that Marco Rubio, or I like, you know.
Oh, yeah, I like Carly Fiorina.
Yeah,
she's just
exactly.
So great. But deep down, it's like, oh, my gosh, we need Trump.
We
so
need to
bad.
Make America great again.
We're going to do
I've
it.
I've got six hats and all the memes.
My t-shirts and yeah. everything, y'all.
I know. We're going to bring freedom to everyone.
And we're going to build a wall, and we're going to make Mexico pay for it.
Oh, that strikes a little bit at my heart. Just because the balls to do something like, not because
oh,
it's
yeah.
good, it's a horrible thing, it won't work.
Absolutely terrible.
But the balls it takes to actually undertake that and then invoice the Mexican government for the cost.
He's out of control, man.
And what's crazy is the majority of the people that are coming from Latin America that are illegal immigrants aren't from Mexico.
No.
From Central America. So it's
they're
like,
parallel Mexicans, exists. Like Joe Ruiz.
Well, it's like, why would you make Mexico pay? I don't know. It's just ridiculous, but whatever.
Well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, though. He understands that he can't miss a news cycle or else he loses.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Donald Trump can't miss one news cycle or he loses. Like just with Ben Carson and then Ted Cruz's rise,
mm-hmm.
he was a little silent.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden, Vladimir Putin endorses him.
Yep.
And boom, right back up in the polls.
Yep. Well, and you know what it was about today, right, in regards to the Democratic debate. So Hillary Clinton at one point said something. They were talking about terrorism, and she said, you know, Donald Trump is the perfect recruiter for ISIS.
They're showing him in the recruiting videos.
They're showing him in the recruiting videos. And turns out, and I mean, I just saw this come from a couple sources, so if I'm wrong,
no, it's true.
You know, it's whatever. But it's true now, according to Greg Lenz.
Yeah.
That they're not doing that at all. And I think he's, what, demanded an apology
yep.
from Hillary Clinton? Which
he's
I mean, she should suit. Do. I mean, I think you should do that.
Yeah, but it won't matter because...
No, of course not.
The Democrats will say no because it'll look weak and because his attack on her is going to be low energy. She did an interview and said that, you know, someone complimented her on how good and, like, refreshed she looked, like, in a morning interview. Like, mm-hmm. she responded... Oh, that's good because I'm exhausted.
Oh,
and that literally on Twitter, it didn't take 5 minutes. And Donald, she's low energy. She's not strong. She's not, you know, I am high energy. My doctor said I'd be the most fit individual in the
right.
history of the presidency.
Because his doctor has given physicals to everyone.
Right. I know, but that's just vintage Trump. And it created the media shitstorm that you need in
Absolutely.
Order to stay up in the polls. But, like, did you notice when they went over? When Bernie and Hillary talked about college, she actually outlefted him, and it was
yeah.
brilliant.
Yeah,
because Bernie's been touting free college,
mm-hmm.
tuition-free college. She made a nuanced debate and showed herself as a skilled, like highly skilled debater about debt-free college.
Right.
Because if it's tuition-free, then Donald Trump's kids come out way ahead, and that's not progressive at all.
Uh-huh.
If it's debt-free, that helps the individuals we really want to not have student loans when they graduate and then gets them to go to college if they can't afford it or qualify for loans.
Hmm. Right.
And she, I was like, dang, that's the most impressive I've ever seen her do because the criticism is she can't outleft Bernie and she just schooled him right on stage.
Right.
And then Martin O'Malley was like a puppet mascot, I guess, or I don't know why he was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's running for vice president.
Yes, absolutely. He just kind of stood there.
Because, like, isn't it funny, though? Like, he's, like, realistically, let's say Hillary wins. Who are the people on the bench, right, that are coming up? Like, the Castros out of Texas. One's the mayor of San Antonio, and then one gave the keynote for this last convention before President Obama.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's, like, a Texas state senator.
Right.
And then, but then Martin O'Malley is, you know, he's in a rock band, Irish, governor of Maryland, well-respected, very smart. He's like a big data science guy that implemented a lot of software as a service reforms in the state of Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
So he checks a lot of boxes, and he looks presidential to me.
Oh, yeah.
But they're treating him like he's the whip. Like, he tried
yeah.
two times to interject, and they're like, Martin,
get the door.
Run along now.
Go
yeah.
Get the door.
They totally harried him.
Friday night at Liberty and Chill, Harry was walking outside, and right as the door closed, I shouted, "Harry!" And he came back in. I go, "Thanks. I just wanted you to get the door one more time."
Oh, that's great.
Oh, Chris's racism.
If you're anywhere near Indianapolis, every Friday night at 6 p.m. At Black Acre Brew Pub here in Indianapolis, we get together a group of libertarians and we just hang out. So you are more than welcome. You're invited. You might want to check with Greg or I to make sure we're going that week. But add Brett Bittner on Facebook and say, "Hey, I want to go to Liberty and Chill," and he'll keep you supplied with invites. But I'd say I go probably two or three times a month.
Every other week.
Yeah. So. But yeah, it's a fun time. So
whenever Brett's out of town is when Chris comes. Exactly. Chloe's right. Boss.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Chloe never shows up because she's too racist.
No, I just am so tired. By the time the weekend rolls around, I'm just old. And
you spend the whole weekend with Brett.
The whole week. Yeah.
Not the whole weekend.
That's creepy.
Yeah. But like the whole week, you know, 8 hours a day, Bittner.
A lot of Bittner with that little beard.
Liberty. Take the quiz.
Hashtag I took the quiz.
Bald head and his braggies with Bittner. Like taking a photo with Brett Bittner is some sort of thing you want to brag about.
No, but really, if you haven't taken the world's smallest political quiz, you totally should do that.
Chill.
Oh my God. She just got like $5. Right? We're charging you ad rates.
No kidding.
Fine.
Theadvocates.org. See the website that Chris Spangle built.
Gee, thanks.
You're welcome. Trust everything you did is just a sham ghost of mine. So
you didn't even read any like post-debate analysis?
Honestly,
like
I didn't even know anything happened.
No?
No, not
a bit. That's because the Democrats do all of their debates on Saturday night.
6.7
which is crazy.
7 million viewers compared to nothing below 17 for the Republicans.
It's been two Saturday night debates and nobody talks about it.
Well, but you know why that is, though. That's strategic planning on the DNC. Well,
Hillary.
Well, I mean, you think about it with Hillary. I mean, who is the candidate that you can, you know, jab at the most? Her, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a broken record of her emails. Benghazi, what did you know? What didn't you know?
Did she shoot somebody in Bill's campaign in 92?
Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, whatever. Yeah.
How many lesbians has she been with?
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't really know, folks. All of them. But stop!
She was a female basketball player.
I'm sorry.
You guys are terrible. Sorry. Well, but I'm just saying, I mean...
Like you're anti-lesbians.
Hillary Clinton...
You were in a sorority, stop it.
Okay, that's whatever, Spangle. But... I'm just making
random accusations.
That if I was a speech and debate person for Hillary Clinton, I would say, we want you to have the least amount of viewers possible because we don't want you to slip up.
Because you're unlikable and terrible.
No, seriously. But I mean, she's got the name recognition.
She does. You know? And there's nothing to gain for her by being under the sunlight.
No, absolutely not.
And it gives Bernie every platform to say, oh, this guy's not some crazy socialist from Vermont that wants to... you know, nationalize every major company in the United States. The thing is, though, Hillary, I feel like, is very good when it's like you and I are when she's engaged in battle.
Right.
Because she's good at picking out the weak spots in your argument.
Right.
She is terrible at feeling a connection with. Like, if anyone ever said, I went and saw Hillary, she shook my hand, and, like Chris Matthews said about Obama, like a shiver went up my leg. No one feels warm and fuzzy watching her. And it's a classic case of coached, tried too hard, because she ended, her debate with the quote from Star Wars.
Right. Really?
It felt so cringe. Ugh. You know, and then too there cheap. Was an immediate fake swarm of Democrats. Army, like, oh, how cool. Hillary ended, you know, she's one of us.
She's so cool. I'm sure she's at Star Wars
really?
Right now.
How do you think the Bernie supporters feel about that? Like, exactly. You know, those are the people she's targeting, and it's not going to work.
No.
Like, just be Hillary Clinton. Just say, I've killed people, and I'm going to be president. Like, you know, like, be the Don, you know, the Don of the Italian family you are.
What difference does it make?
Yeah. In that, I liked it. That's strength, you know, like, that's Margaret Thatcher. And it really, though, that changed the tide for Republicans. It made them look petty during that Benghazi thing. Which, actually, that movie's coming out. Did you guys see that?
No. Uh-huh.
No.
They're doing a documentary that's going to be released on the whole entire Benghazi situation.
Was it a documentary, or was it, what's the John...
Oh, no, it's Michael Bay.
Yeah, the movie it has Jim from The Office in it.
It's probably that.
Yeah, I think it's the same
Krasinski?
Movie. Yeah, he's on the front cover of GQ. Men's Health.
Oh yeah,
or something.
He's like, yeah.
Men's
like
health,
ripped as
right.
hell. Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, the CIA actually held two meet and greets and sit downs because it's not going to be propaganda oriented like Zero Dark Thirty.
Interesting.
They're going to be more critical and actually look at like the command process. You know, the point of, but Michael Bay is no like guy trying to support the Republican candidate. You know, what he's trying to do is to expose people in the most sensational format possible about what actually went on, what the chain of command was,
and
without being a puppet for the Democrat or Republican Party.
Plus, right. A little bit of controversy is going to help his movie. And the best way to be controversial is to say something shitty about the Democrats and. You know,
yeah, because you know they don't have money to spend on movies.
It's so it's so passé to like make fun of Republicans.
Yeah, oh, that's the most boring thing in the world.
Right, because everybody does it. We get it, but you say something about Democrats, and then that starts. You know, is the new movie too hard on Hillary Clinton? Like, if a movie were like making fun of Donald Trump, there'd be no, you know, a new movie's coming out. It's about Donald Trump being fat, you know, or something. Like, I mean. Isn't it funny? We were just talking about. I was talking with someone about radio. Howard Stern just renewed his deal at Sirius. At work, Bob retired from the Bob and Tom show, so we've been looking back on and reflecting.
Did he retire, or did he just get sick of you and quit?
He got sick of me and quit.
He said, "I can't. This spangle bothers me all day. I'm done."
So. I read an article about how Howard Stern has changed and he's become, you know, he's not as hardcore. He used to make fun of celebrities. Now he wants to interview all of them and be like Larry King. And, you know, I thought times have changed, though. Like, if you think back to when we were in high school or when we were kids, like the most shocking thing that a shock jock could do was talk about sex and
like
lesbians.
The Lewinsky scandal. Like, yeah. It was like, mm-hmm. You know, they could only make allusions or allude
right.
to it, not.
You couldn't like make jokes about sex, and there's so many bits at work that we can't play anymore because of the FCC. For the longest time, one of our most popular songs was Camel Toe to the Beach Boys song Kokomo, and or there was a song called Cleveland Steamer, blah blah. So if you go and to our SoundCloud, you can find those for Bob and Tom. You were controversial by being sexual. You were controversial by going against your Christian beliefs. And now the way that culture works is that you are countercultural if you're anti-conservative. Or actually not if you're if you are conservative is what I was going to say. Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, those guys are the shock jocks of the new era. Not Howard Stern, not Bob and Tom, not, you know, any of these other shock jocks. And it just is interesting to me how society has kind of made that switch from going it's countercultural to be a Republican. Like people will admit to crazy things, but people will not admit to being Republican.
Oh, absolutely not. But I think a lot of that stems from the 2008 presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at who we had then. We had John McCain and we had Barack Obama.
Right.
And if you were a young student in high school or college at the rise of Facebook, Twitter, social media. I don't think Instagram wasn't around then, but
right.
I mean, if you look at who dominated social media then, it was the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend of a friend of a friend that ran John McCain's campaign in a couple different states, and Republicans back then said, "Well, social media, that's not how we do things. We're not going to do it." And that's how they lost.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, that really is how they lost.
The other aspect is a lot of those Obama supporters are now in media positions.
Right.
I mean, somebody like myself who in 2008, how old was I in 2008? I was 8 years ago. I'm 32. I was 26.
Mm-hmm.
25, 26, you don't have much going on career-wise, but at 32, I do very well, and I'm influential in a major media brand. Like, it's people like me grew up and became, you know, more instrumental in media outlets and became producers. And, you know, so comedy writers, for instance, are very liberal by and large, or libertarian. They're not Republicans. They're not conservatives. You're either flaming liberal and you love Bernie, or you're a libertarian. You cannot be a Republican and go to these local open mics with the stand-ups that are...
like, no.
It, just forget it. So
that's why guys like Larry the Cable Guy don't have to be maybe as... they don't have to change their shtick and they become worth $30 million.
Right. Yeah.
You know, they pander the Palin crowd and they make a career of it.
Because they're...
laugh their way to the bank.
I mean, guys like Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy are certainly that way, but they're... I mean, they're certainly conservative and they say what they believe, but there's such a void for that audience.
Mm, oh, huge.
So that's why they're so successful.
Hell, I think that's why, like, you know, we don't have any, like, Tool Time, like, Home Improvement, the show, or...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, the family... Oh, kind of lighthearted comedy just is gone.
When I listen to right. Beck, I mean, Becky would say it all the time as he's starting his own entertainment brand. Like, who is catering to the Christian conservative audience? Nobody. There's a huge opportunity for growth. Like, don't... I think he was talking about the movie Noah, which was a total abortion. I mean, it was terrible. You took this biblical story.
Thank God it wasn't, or we wouldn't be here.
There was, like, Jurassic Park dinosaurs in that movie chasing. Like, these trees came to life. It's like... do Noah the right way that's going to want you. You want a religious audience to go see that, not some sort of mocking.
Kurt Cameron's resurgence as a career has been catering to, you know, the Christian market.
And his sister.
Yeah, and they were gone. I mean, they weren't part of the you know, American media exposure at all after being child stars, and now they have stormed back and built careers on that.
Right. Well, and I will say, the Duggars. I mean,
yeah.
Before all of the crazy stuff that happened with Josh and Child Records and, you know, the Ashley Madison account and everything. But I mean, that was, you know, on TLC.
Yeah.
That is your pinnacle Christian conservative show, along with Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
And although not as popular, I think Keeping Up with the Bates family, they also live, I think, in either Tennessee or Arkansas, very good family friends of the Duggars. Constantly.
Teach Me How to Duggar.
Yeah, Teach Me How to Duggar. They're also in a lot of their episodes on TLC, which you can't watch anymore because they've pulled them off air. But the two sisters, Jill and Jessa Duggar, have their own TV
spin-off.
Show. Yeah, they have their own spinoff, which I think is, you know, fine because they still... TLC wants to cash in on that family somehow because, I mean, it
it's
got
untapped.
Them ratings.
Yeah, it's
it
untapped.
Got them ratings.
Duck Dynasty is, it's not that I, you know, it's not so much that, like, oh, I want to mock Duck Dynasty. I just disagree with how its production value. Like, I disagree that it is just a poor hodgepodge of a show.
Mm-hmm.
I think Laguna Beach was better production quality than Duck Dynasty.
Right.
But Duck Dynasty is in a market where there's no competition, and they just cleaned house.
There's a well-known comedian who headlines. He's a club comedian, really funny guy, not part of the blue collar crowd at all. Just very kind of he's just a comedian, kind of a young guy, and he was the head writer for the Duck Dynasty show.
Oh,
and he said, I have never seen an episode of it. I've never watched it. He threw it under the bus. He's the head writer of the show. He doesn't get credit for it. He gets paid for it, but not the credit, just because they don't want it to, like, get out that there's head writers for the show.
You're telling me it's scripted reality?
Yeah.
What?
But here's a guy who writes the show, who he doesn't, like, write their... He, like, writes the silly setups.
He creates the scenarios.
Yeah, so, like, the setups on the show are all fake. Like, how could this family get into that many shenanigans in 1 week? You know, because they go down there and they shoot the shenanigans... over the course of, like, probably 4 months. And then, you know, the rest of the year, they're just being themselves.
Normal millionaires.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so they pack the show into that short amount of time. They're not getting into that many shenanigans, let's be honest. So, but it was a point of pride for him.
No one turns himself into a woman.
Right. So it was a point of pride for him that he had never seen the show that he was the head writer of. You know, because he didn't want to be judged negatively for attaching himself to this group of people who hold very fundamental Christian conservative beliefs. And that includes less than favorable views of gay sex and homosexuals probably in general. But
they don't like that do unto others part, though.
They
do like to talk about, you know, using the government as force.
Yeah.
A lot.
So, I just think it's an interesting perspective that culturally conservatism is more controversial than, I mean, it's less controversial for me to say cunt than it is for me to say that I love Donald Trump and I'm voting Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that was not that way 15 years ago.
Then you want to help ISIS recruit.
Yep.
Literally, I mean, What's funny, though, is in one of the actual ISIS recruiting videos is Bill Clinton for, what was it, attacks after in 96 when they could have taken bin Laden in Somalia and didn't.
You're kidding.
And so I thought that's pretty funny that she didn't know that and that came out after.
Oh, no, I'm sure she knows.
Yeah.
I'm sure Hillary Clinton knows everything there is to know about Hillary Clinton.
What could it possibly matter that Bill's an ISIS recruiting
Yeah. Jim. Well, I mean, no, Barack Obama, the last three presidents have been, well, going back to Ronald Reagan, presidents have been great recruiters for Islamic terrorism. So we probably should move on to terrorism. Let's talk about some of these school shooters. So since we last talked about the Paris attacks and foreign policy, and we had not yet, and some of the censorship and foreign policy that goes along with that. Hadn't really talked about, I don't think the most recent was the big school shooting that just happened. San Bernardino hadn't
that
happened.
Was, oh, before San Bernardino? Was it the Oregon shooting?
Yeah.
At the community college?
Yeah, the Oregon shooting had not has not happened since our last episode. And we've got a situation, actually, at the school where Greg and I graduated high school, Plainfield High School, is going over. Could you please not text me such filthy things, Chloe, during the... She's texting me.
I'm not texting you anything. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah.
She's updating her Tumblr because she's outraged that you would accuse her.
Don't make fun of my Taylor Swift Tumblr.
Oh, see you next Tuesday.
Yeah. Chloe, jeez. So, there's this kid named Brian Kill on Facebook.
There's not a kid. It's a sock. So if you're familiar with the internet vernacular, a sock is a fake account.
Right.
So it's when for people like me, it's create a fake account because your main account got banned because somebody disagreed with a Hitler post.
You don't think that this is some disenfranchised 16-year-old asshole kid?
I think it is definitely that, but I don't think his name's Brian Kill.
I don't either. Yeah.
Yeah, no. But it's totally that. It's totally right. A butthurt, you know, delusional fantasy keyboard warrior.
Let's call him what he is. Call him what he is.
I'm not saying it.
Say it.
I am not saying it. Because I have been called that, and I've been called their king.
He's a total beta.
Yeah, he's a beta. Oh, yeah, he's a beta male. Like, if it's a guy, he's a beta male. If it's a girl, which is the other theory, because what's going on is, in Plainfield, there was a young woman who, it would appear, her pictures of her being seductive were sent, and sexting the kids call it.
And don't say her name.
Nope, not saying her name. Right. Were sent to someone, and they ended up in the hands of this person who created a fake account and decided to make a post on the last day of finals about how they were going to blow up the school with pipe bombs. They gave specifics on how many they had and the guns they had, and they were going to go around shooting people. And I know that cat is Satan.
You're asking for bad times. Yeah. You walk around picking up somebody's cat, that's a bad deal.
If that cat ever like slipped out the door, it'd be the best thing ever.
Shut up.
I'm sorry. Was that Cornelius, though? Or?
That was Mittens.
Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah.
If Cornelius ran away, I'd be okay.
No, you're fine. Because it's bitten me. It bit me. And so you got clawed. He actually trained it. I have to do that.
It's my attack pussy.
It's got claws on it.
Right.
Anyway, so this individual threatens on the night before the last day of finals. He calls this girl out and by name, announces what he's going to do. Plainfield cancels classes, and then he says he's going to another school where there were threats, Danville High School, and Danville gets shut down. This goes, and then he deactivates the account. In come the FBI, and they start doing IP tracking. This person's obviously someone that hangs out on 4chan, 8chan, Sheiky Forum. They hang out on the internet, probably deep web as well. They were able to probably use a virtual private network and get their IP address to bounce around where they were from, and probably posted from like free Wi-Fi places where that could be less, you know, difficult to track, and kept moving and connecting to a new one. But this goes on, and they were able to they used a Russian email service provider, Yandex, which the United States government can't subpoena and have subpoena power for. And we're talking about they were going to kill the cops if the cops showed up, like very aggressive. Then he goes quiet for a day, he or she. Then he comes back out, tags like 100 people, uses some very graphic photos and announces that he will be showing up at Perry Crossing, a mall in Plainfield, Indiana, blowing it up, shooting anyone there, you know, gets that evacuated. This is Friday. Then last night makes another post, you know, reactivates so people can't track him, and says that he or she will be going to the 8:30 and 9:30 Star Wars showing, trying to be like James Holmes. And this person's created, I've monitored it real closely because it, you know, I'm funny. Like I guess you could say I bully Chris online, but I do it out of love. Like I don't bully Chris to make him mad or, you know.
Yeah. Like if I like said, Greg, that's too far, take that down.
Immediately.
You totally would.
Yes. Yeah. And I'd make something humiliating of myself.
Like guys, the way that guys bond is by mocking each other and trying to like out funny each other and bust balls.
Yeah, we don't take selfies with a Starbucks cup that say bridesmaid, hashtag bridesmaid.
Right. Shut up, Lens.
Yeah, so like if you told me right now, Greg, for instance, that you had a sex dream about Jeb Bush, I would make fun of that mercilessly.
Yeah, and you should, because it should have been Trump.
Right.
He's the alpha.
No, I mean, I've had friends in the past, girlfriends who had sex dreams about Rand Paul, and it changed their mind.
You did not.
I did, yeah.
Who, or... Fair.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So
yeah. Rand?
Yeah.
Randlet?
Totally changed her view on him.
Wow.
So I mean, if you had a sex dream about Jeb Bush, for instance, Chloe, do you think that would make you more or less likely to vote for Jeb Bush?
Yeah, I don't really like Jeb Bush.
In my mind, I'm picturing George standing in the corner going, "Miss me yet?"
Yeah. that'd be a good. So yeah, anyways,
you would be right to bully me for such a thing, and I'd know you're doing it right. As an act of friendship.
Guys bust balls with each other. It's primordial. It came up through our ancestors because it's all about ranking. So yeah, I don't mind that Greg busts my balls and makes memes about me. It's funny and people enjoy it and they get a kick out of it. But
and hopefully we get subscribers.
It's not yet. Yeah, it's not cyberbullying.
Yeah, but so this what this individual's doing is way more than cyberbullying. I mean, it is threatening.
He's threatening women and children and rape and murder. Like,
yeah, rape mothers in front of daughters and awful things. And so I'd watched this, and I don't, you know, Chloe, I know, had you been following the situation at all?
I have, yeah.
And I was just outraged because this is someone, like, once you kind of learn the story, right? So he had also created more fake accounts that were commenting and creating, like, a ring to create a social media firestorm. Their last names were all Harris. The school shooter at Columbine was Eric Harris.
Nice.
He had sisters named Chelsea and Hannah. These were the socks that were being commenting. And so this is someone that has creating a fear in a real community by thinking it's okay and it's funny to glorify school shooters, which happens on the internet a lot, you know, and I'm guilty of it because, you know, that meme, you know, the school shooter fade, the cupcake haircut.
Right.
But this person. So there was a network on the website 8chan, which is being transferred over to a different service, like software provider right now.
What's different? What's 8chan versus 4chan?
It's 10 times worse. It's a meme sewer.
Okay.
So there was a nationwide ring of individuals who thought it'd be funny. They're going to call in bomb threats on the last day of school finals in L.A., New York, Indiana, all around. They're going to use this email hosting service called cock.ly. cock.li.
You said cock.
Oh, yeah. And that's what, and the other one's called, like, I mean, they're really funny. Like, that you can see, what it is, it's a domain, an email service provider for domains. So, like, it'll say, like, glens from cock.ly or, you know, muslim.hater or whatever. And they'll send them, and they send them to schools. And so then the subpoena request came to the email domain provider. And that's when everybody freaked out on 8chan. And so this was all conducted simultaneously to create, get out of finals.
Of course. And it happened in Miami and Dallas, too.
Yep. All around. And then this one here in Indy, though, they took it a step further and started publishing.
You use they. Do you think that it is a group of people, or are you using that because you don't know if it's a male or female?
I think it's one. I think it's one person. And I think that because there was an alleged person named Christopher that has gone out and had to do like a video on Facebook that it's while this person's posting, I am not there.
Gotcha.
And then there is, though, a person on a website called Sheiky Forum named Sniper Wish, at Sniper Wish, who mentioned that, have y'all heard about what this Brian Kill kid's doing? You know, and no one really heard about it. And so then it turned into a thread and like a joking about Eric Davis or Harris, the school shooter at Columbine. And I thought, it's just horrible. These people glorified, like, one of their favorite memes is the Santa Barbara shooter, that Asian kid that shot up all the sorority girls who wouldn't date him.
Yes.
And that's what this is. This is a culture thing. Yeah. This is a bunch of basement-dwelling fantasy sci-fi nerds that want to control, you know, they have delusions of grandeur and desperately seek power. And that's, like, academically backed, that there's a psychology of the nerd that the when conducted in a blind study, they all are incredibly power hungry and seek absolute control over their domain.
Yeah.
And that's why they identify so much with the sci-fi.
Right.
And they have, in like now they're actually though taking the step where they're controlling an entire town right now at Plainfield.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is just Chloe.
Yes.
You're a young, attractive female.
Thank you.
You don't seem to have a lot of friends.
Meh. I mean, they're all kind of dispersed throughout the country. So all
right.
Thanks for that.
Dick.
Jerk.
I'm going to go get on 8chan.
I just have my box set of Gilmore Girls.
Wow.
That's
like arguably the meanest thing I've ever heard you say.
I know. She can take it.
I'm fine.
I know she has a lot of friends. She's delightful.
Thank you.
Now, do you have a lot of guy friends?
Yeah. Again, they're all spread out throughout the country now.
Right.
After graduation, everybody moves.
So have you had the situation where a guy friend clearly is into you, but you're just friends and you've got him friend-zoned?
Not within like the last 2 years, but yeah, like early college, there were a few of those.
Right.
Can I make you had gone to DC recently and you took a picture and like, it was you with a childhood friend and said, oh, my best bud from childhood.
Yeah.
And I almost was like, I cringed so hard. I was like, that guy's probably crying right now listening to Nine Inch Nails in the Dark.
Buddy.
Yeah.
My best friend. Yeah.
Hashtag bestie day date.
Yeah.
All my single female friends, and especially younger female friends, I always have to coach them like, I think this guy has feelings for me. What do I do? Call him buddy. Like, that's it. Call him buddy. Thanks, friend. Like, use that word repeatedly. It works so well.
Yeah.
So, have you noticed patterns about this particular type of guy? Because look, we're going to help some men. We're going to help some men, Greg. We're going to help some men. How about that?
We're going to make America's men great again.
Yes,
that's right.
We are.
So, are there certain patterns that they seem to have? This little beta man that you have friend zoned. How do they act?
I'm trying to think. Wow, this is taking me back to like freshman sophomore year of college. So I would say, always want to hang out all the time.
Super attentive.
Who are you with? What are you
doing?
Who
are you with? Hey, what's going on?
Right.
Texting all the time. Hey, do you want to go get lunch? Hey, I'm going to, you know, Target or wherever. Do you want to come too? I need to go pick up this, that kind of thing.
I'm meeting my parents for dinner. Want to go?
Yeah, want to come?
Right.
Want to come? Want to come do this? Want to come do that?
Desperately seeking any sort of validation or hint that you might be interested in them romantically.
Right. And then I'm trying to think. I think that's like the big one. And then the other big one is the not approving of any other guys
right.
in your life.
Very critical
yep.
of the
yeah,
other males.
Super critical.
He's not good enough for you.
He's not good enough. He's not very nice. He's kind of a jerk.
What you need is a real man.
Someone that appreciates you and sees what the potential
yeah.
you have.
Trying to pick apart every little flaw. Highly complimentary of you, would you say?
Yeah, for the most part. So like a Chris Spangle.
You look great today. I love your makeup.
Hey, she just returned sir for your insult about not having many friends.
You know, your makeup looks great today. You smell wonderful.
And now you're just getting
weird. You have so much potential.
No,
you
I have so much no, potential. I can't smell your armpits from over here.
Shut up.
A secret underlying reserve of resentment and anger?
Yeah, maybe a little bit.
And you can feel the controlling element.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything they do is like, oh, well, But I had this scheduled. Remember we talked about doing this?
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I will say I never like let it get to that point just because I don't deal with crap like that. But I had a lot of girlfriends in college that, okay, you're clearly friend zoning this guy. Tell him how you really
called him
feel.
Out?
Oh, yeah. Well, I had a roommate. Long story short, I had a roommate my sophomore year of college that turned out to be just not very good for me, but whatever. But she would constantly do this to guys. She'd be like, well, I don't really want a boyfriend, but I kind of think I like him. And it's like, okay, I don't have time to deal with this drama. You either like him or you don't.
Yeah.
So let's pick.
You are the alpha female of your sorority.
She really is. Yeah. She's
pretty
alpha.
Was. Yeah, I'm a terrible person.
No, you're not,
that's
terrible.
Not alpha.
No, telling people exactly where you stand and what you want. Like somebody tried to ghost me recently. And, like, it was just clear that they were trying to ghost me. I let it go for a couple days just to kind of see, like, okay, did they initiate conversation? Like, we'd been talking every day for, like, a month and a half. Mm-hmm. And then they just stopped talking to me. And I was like, okay, let's give it another day. Let's see what happens. And it was just clear.
Nobody outweighs the spangle.
Right.
<Yeah. laughs>
I am king of the beta friends. And so I messaged them. I was like, what's up? I'm like, I'm just a coward. I didn't know how to tell you that I don't like you like that. It's like, well, just tell me.
Yeah.
But I, the more I like have that situation, the more I think, you know why women don't tell you, they ghost you instead? Is because they've been flipped out on by so many of these beta friends that mm-hmm. are just so...
Well, like, they leak, you know, nudes they didn't even get right. all over the internet and then slut shame you and, mm-hmm. you know, what, act just very beta.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, Greg and I have both been that guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
we invented it. We weren't just...
I let a woman live in my apartment for 4 months with her two kids because I was so beta friended. But
I love how Jeff Vibbert actually talks about what that process was.
Yeah. So, what are some other signs, Greg?
No, I mean they are, and then this is different because there's the guy like the typical, totally non school shooter. Affected bestie, you know, male that's crying about how women don't actually want a good man on social media posts, you know.
Right.
Because if you did, it'd be me because I'm a great guy.
Right. The nice know? Guy syndrome. Yeah. Nice guys yeah. are the worst guys, yeah. honestly.
Right. And then there's the one who it has some probably issues of social acceptance
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
then gets close to you. And since it's the first female he's ever been close to, because Audiovisual Club doesn't have many women, you know, if you remember I stereotype, but
that's
back
true.
To the matter that the trench coat mafia at Columbine were the Audiovisual Club. They were isolationist and they announced what they were going to do. And they were both obsessed with, you know, creating a fantasy. And mm-hmm. that's what they did.
But see, I want to apply this to the real world, too, because it's all the same cocktail and it can improve the life of so many guys. If we just talk about it. And women, too, like.
Give him a bullet to the head.
It's
better than, you know, six shots in the body.
I talked to a girlfriend recently, and I guess I had her friend zone, and she's like, yeah, I thought about asking you on a date. And I was like, then you should have done it. Shouldn't have waited until I'm seeing somebody seriously. Like,
she's much younger and more attractive than you are, but best of luck.
Yeah. So it's just... The solution is all kind of the same. It's all mental health, and it's all about loving yourself more and having more self-esteem and being open and direct with people. It's just some people take it to psychotic levels because when you're younger, you have less control over your emotions. It's like I see my niece, who's 2 years old, run around and just is this open wound of emotions, and she just hasn't learned to regulate yet. And some people never really grow out of that, and they never deal with their abandonment issues, and they never deal with the fact that some people, like, you can have a relationship with any female you want if you're a guy. You just aren't going to have sex with every female that you want to. Like, and you certainly aren't going to have sex with every female that you want to. You aren't going to have sex with every female that you want to by emotionally manipulating them, bullying them, trying to low-key control them.
Abducting them.
Right.
Yeah.
Keeping them in my apartment.
We're going to be so happy together.
I mean...
Oh, gosh, you're looking at me.
Feeding them...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Feeding them Cosby sangria.
Drink the sangria, Chloe.
That's why
put the sangria in the basket, Chloe.
Put the lotion in the basket.
No, but you're exactly right, except I think there's an element of no... like, an individual... a well-adjusted individual can say, my God, what I just did was pretty creepy.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
There's a sense of self-awareness.
Yeah.
These individuals lack that outside perspective of themselves and how they are being received. And it's like, maybe they are, and they just refuse to acknowledge it and then say, well, Luke did this in Star Wars. Or, you know, so this is just like in...
They're sociopaths.
Yeah.
And they're disconnected from reality. And,
right.
And then they just press the accelerator more and go down the well.
Right. They're honestly, a lot of it is a lot of it with these guys, they're feral cats, basically.
Yes.
They're not socialized, and that's a huge part of the problem. And I trust me, seventh, eighth grade, I had no friends. And the reason that I started to get into comedy is that I had no friends in seventh and eighth grade, and then in the eighth grade, I told a joke and somebody laughed. And so I started in ninth grade having a joke every single day, and people would come up to me and ask me for the joke of the day, and I realized, like, women would talk to me. And I had friends, and I started to socialize with people, and I stopped being such an angry little bitch. I mean, I just was, I was not
going to
end up...
You're not mad at the world, because, you know, you're going around, these individuals try to change the world to them.
Right.
Not ever occurring that they're the problem.
They're the problem, yeah, that they have serious disturbed mental issues.
Clearly.
But,
I mean...
Like, I don't think that this person this person in Plainfield that is doing this...
No, this person is a 4chan troll.
Yeah, this person
using
is...
Using tactics because they've celebrated and know the history of school shootings.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Right. But they're not total psychopaths because they haven't done shit.
No.
Right.
They're just little... They're trying to, like, do something fun, and it's entertaining to them because they are sociopathic. They're just not...
They're trying
murderous.
To be king troll.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, and they're trying to get out of finals, and they're trying to make a girl or whomever it is really
ruin her life.
Yeah.
Ruin
well,
her life forever.
And if I were her parents, I would just be just heartbroken.
Oh.
You know? It's just really, really sad.
Right.
And I mean, I hate to say that there's, you know, all this online bullying that leads to, you know, suicide in young kids. But I mean, you look at stuff like this and you wonder why we have suicide rates that we do.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel terrible for this girl. And it's just, you know, you're... Man, if you're a kid and you listen to the show, don't send dick pics. Don't send nudie pics of your any part of your body. Like, and if you have kids, like, you have to know, honestly, I mean, Chloe, you grew up, I mean, we got cell phones first when we were in, like, middle elementary school. I remember my dad.
Elementary?
I mean, when my dad was in middle school, he had, like, a bag phone in his car. You know?
No way.
Yeah, so when I was in, like, sixth, seventh grade, and then he finally got, like, cell phones, and I had a cell phone senior year. But, like, Chloe grew up. Did you have cameras on your phone starting at what age?
I mean, I got my first cell phone. I was 15, and I had a camera on it so I could take pictures, but picture messaging wasn't, like,
yeah,
really a
thing. Yeah, the quality was so bad.
Right, it wasn't like Snapchat.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was bad quality, and it cost extra to send pictures. And I remember always getting upset because my girlfriends would send me pictures of, like, hey, this is my dress that I'm going to wear for homecoming. What do you think? And I could never open it, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
It'll cost 15 cents. I can't open it.
I got it from Debs. You don't like it. It was just a thing. So, yeah. But I would say, I mean, when I was
I like the disdain you say that with, like, shut up. It's an ugly dress.
You got it at the mall.
It matches
shut
your
up.
Face.
It's terrible. But I think high school, I had a camera phone, but Instagram wasn't around.
Right.
And I mean, there was Facebook, but that was all about, you know, Facebook. Then you would post these massive albums that had, like, 5,000 million pictures in them, and it was just a big deal.
Over under 50. How many unsolicited dick pics have you gotten in your life?
Oh, I would say way too many.
No but, way.
Over 50? Well, over 50?
Well, that, but you have to think. But here's
Are
the
you
thing,
serious?
Though. Oh my gosh, but here's the thing. Think about it this way. Snapchat, well, and I tell people, like, I don't have Snapchat because I got way too many inappropriate photos. Way too many. And it wasn't just me. There was an issue at Ball State with certain girls in certain sororities getting mass quantities of stuff like that. But that's right when Snapchat became really popular, when I was maybe like a sophomore, junior.
I'm sure that stopped.
No. I mean, that's the number one way to send bad pictures to people is through Snapchat.
I've been sitting with girlfriends in the last year, and she'll get a text message of a dick. Like,
what?
Oh, see, I don't get text messages.
She won't have talked to this. Like, it was one girl.
Tinder?
And, like, we're sitting there, and she goes, oh, my God, and holds up her phone, and she goes, I'm just showing this to so you know that it was unsolicited. Like, look, the last time we talked was 3 weeks ago, and here's his dick.
Right. Well, and let me put it this way. I had sorority sisters that unfortunately were sexually harassed this way. It was always unsolicited, and it was always by just guys in fraternities or just random guys from class that had no other way to say, hey, I think you're hot, you know? And it's
if I think you're hot, here's my dick.
Instead of courtship, it's human evolution. The next step in dating, right,
yeah,
is
absolutely
a nude of your genitals.
It goes standing outside of your house with a boombox, devolved into giving her an all for one CD, which devolved into dick pic.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
But again, I think it shows, and the reason I bring this up is, A, if you're a parent, like,
Monitor the phone.
Monitor the computer. There are apps out there. I think Covenant Eyes is one of them.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. there's many you can download, and you know they may not even be aware the app's on there, and it gives you total access.
Yeah,
to the files.
You really ought to, just so you know what's going on, to protect your daughter, to protect your son, because it's just rampant. I mean, I know in my 20s and 30s here how much deviancy there is in terms of what guys send women and how they treat women.
It's
disgusting. And it's not, I mean, it's guys like Greg and I that do it. I mean, we're
I don't
okay.
have Snapchat. I don't like it. I don't like the usability of it. I just think it's awful. But I think the technology of the automatic deleting is the future of all communications apps.
Yeah, like Cyberdust and Snapchat. I mean, if you're dating in the modern age, like, by the time you go to have sex with somebody, you've seen the girl naked. I mean, for the most part. I
would hope.
50% of the women I've dated just send unsolicited pictures. And it's like, thank God I'm a nice guy that has, you know, I've saved those in a private place.
Oh my gosh.
Thank God that Imgur album's password locked and no one has the link.
Exactly. One last thing on that, because I have a friend back in my hometown that teaches it's not like the DARE program anymore, but it's like specific. It's kind of like DARE, you know, like whatever that stands for. But it's mainly about like
individual drugs.
Yeah, like that.
Don't anally rape Eric.
Sure. But she teaches these classes to kids about like, okay, well, you know, here's drugs. It's like from the hospital. I don't really know how to describe it if you're not from the area. But something that she started, and she posts about it on Facebook all the time, but she's put it into her curriculum that there are legal consequences when you send pictures like that young kids.
It's considered
child pornography. And the thing is, I mean, a lot of times these, you know, you hear reports of kids getting arrested because they're 17, you know, 18 years old, and they send their 16-year-old boyfriend or girlfriend something dirty, and the parents find out, and they're in jail.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, I don't think
parents understand.
And they're
in with Fogel. Like, that's the classification. It's not like, my girlfriend sent me a nude, but because I'm overage, or I'm of age, and she isn't, I'm getting footlongs with Jared.
Right, absolutely.
Like, and it's, you know, that is a nightmare. So just...
Yeah, well, I mean, you listen, your kids are going to do what they're going to do, but the reason I bring it up is just the dehumanization of ourselves. I think that part of the reason that this stuff is increasing and is becoming more and more prevalent is that you're disconnected from a person's humanity when you're texting, when you are Snapchatting, when you're meeting people online, when you are, you know, social interactions are in person are much more awkward these days. I mean, at any party, it's 50% phone time, 50% people time.
How often do you hear that that person's a great conversationalist?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like, never. And that was a skill that used to be learned.
And trust me, I'm as guilty as anybody. That's for sure. I mean, I have to make a conscious effort. Like, I've made a move to start a private secondary Facebook account that is hooked up to my phone so I can just see the 60 people in my life that I talk to on a daily basis, what is going on in their life. And it is so refreshing to log onto my Facebook on my phone and not have a lot of activity and just see what is going on for the people that are most important in my life.
No memes.
No memes.
And then just walk away from that, and that's it. You know. And then I have the other account that I log into on a desktop and see what is going on, all the madness and the goofiness, and kind of catch up. But I can't see the activity of those people because most people have 1,100 friends, 1,200 friends. That's not...
I don't have 1,100 friends.
It's not real life, you know?
Check your your social privilege. You're really showing off.
No, I have 5,000. I'm much more popular than
But from from a state Mount treasure. 5,000, you would just assume the median's 1,000. It's really not.
I think it is.
It's like you'd assume, doesn't everybody make 100K?
Yeah.
You're a Romney.
No, so I just think people are dehumanized. We don't look at people the same way.
Culture is coarsened.
Yeah, I think a movie like Her, where it's this guy falling in love with Siri, I think that's the future. And I think we have a serious problem where these guys, in 20 years when VR catches on, these people who are disconnected from a social circle, my whole life from 2 years ago to now is different because I have friends, because I have large social circles. I have a lot of people that care about me and that get really shitty if I don't make contact with them on a regular basis. And I have social responsibilities where I didn't 2 years ago when I was a libertarian. I mean, now I was when I didn't have a lot of friends and I didn't have social circles, I was starting podcasts.
Part of that, I mean, that was a role where you didn't get to choose who was in your social circle. They were just forced upon you, even though they're voluntarists.
Yeah. It's hard for these guys to make friends, and especially they just don't, I don't know, man.
Well,
that's why I love PopCon and Gen Con, so these people can find friends.
They should, but like, I think it's, I know, I've said this before, but like, the role of the man, what society perceives as the perfect male or the desirable male, went from John Wayne to, if you've seen The Graduate, Dustin Hoffman, the broken hero. And then it became Spider-Man, and it became the Marvel, the guy nerd alone that saves the world.
Yeah.
Right? And Star Wars, sci-fi, all that stuff popped up around it. And it was the quiet kid nobody thought about that, could completely control his domain, but he exercised restraint in not doing so. And that's the element, is that these kids don't see that he, by restraining himself from doing it, that's the ideal. They see it as, well, since he can change the world, he will. Or they say that she'll rue the day she didn't go out with me and meet my parents at Applebee's.
Right.
You know,
2 for 20 deal.
Right. And because those aren't that's a different male kind of individual that's sending pictures of his genitals.
Having dealt with a lot of these type of guys, I call it programmer arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remember Nick from Saturday Night Live that Jimmy Fallon did, he was like, move, the tech guy that came in and just was a dick to everybody. A lot of IT people are a lot like that. And
well, they have to build out their world. That's the world they live in.
Yeah. And trust me, we can talk about this because they don't listen to this podcast. This is way too social of a podcast for these type of people. They're listening to professors and stuff. So
they're over there on, what's that? Stefan Molyneux YouTube video. Kinsella,
listen to Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
So,
but that's dangerous though, because I think the blend and the segue that I originally was thinking of when I talked about show topics tonight and was talking with in that chat was, that's the appeal of Donald.
Yeah.
It's the individuals like me. The reason, in hindsight, it didn't occur to me while I was doing this last night, is I got banned for 12 hours from Facebook last night for cyberbullying the person that's been threatening Plainfield.
Yeah. The cyberbully who has been posting nude photos of an underage girl and saying that he's going to rape her and her mother reported Greg for cyberbullying, and Facebook banned him.
Yeah. And, what happened was I created a fictional account as the Donald, and I decided that I was going to make this terrorist great again. And so I friended him and antagonized him and did everything I could think of that was annoying, until it really actually did bug this person. And they defriended me. And then I immediately started messaging him and tagging him again. And they relented and accepted me again. And then I just did it right over again. And so I received a ban. And I thought, why did I make it Donald Trump?
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird. I didn't bring it up, but
completely weird.
Yeah, you were like,
it was because he to me is the representative of, shut up, you loser, get back in the basement or become a man. Right. You know, this is, you are what's wrong with our culture and where our cultures go. It's like the jihadi ISIS. Yeah. It's like the kids hanging out at the cafe in Paris that then go think they're Syrian warriors and leave a month later because they're like, oh my God, this isn't a video game.
G.I. Joe, the embodiment of G.I. Joe.
Right. And like, that's what, you know, these individuals are, these online keyboard warriors, are they are mad at the world because the world doesn't function based on how their role-playing game does, their World of Warcraft game.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes them upset, and so they are going to carry out the vendetta against society.
Right.
And I'm sorry, this girl didn't like you, or maybe she didn't want to have a relationship with you. She doesn't deserve to be killed.
Yeah. No, she doesn't deserve to be publicly humiliated and sexually harassed.
Yeah, and it isn't funny. You aren't cool. You aren't an alpha. You've created an environment of fear, but what ends up happening is a big bully like Don Trump comes along and the silent majority swells around him. And they don't like it. They won't admit it to their friends and family. But all of a sudden they see the guy saying, you're a low energy loser. I'm very smart and very rich, and I might send him to camp, and I may not let him in. And people silently are cheering because everyone for so long has had multiculturalism forced down their throat.
Yes.
Acceptance. Yeah. You need to be more socially conscious and think about what the effect your words have on other people.
Right.
Because that could offend them, and they need a safe space because they're lesser than you somehow.
Right.
And when Don Trump comes along and basically turns the playbook upside down, you have people that would never consider voting for a guy that has been a Democrat most of his life, has basically no real policy plans other than... He's using immigration as a ploy to win the presidency.
Right.
Like, it's not he really cares about this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trade deals, making America great but not getting ripped off in trade deals, which is actually good. But he's not a politician. He's running on something that's been dormant in society because we've had this shoved down our throats for so long. And I identify with it because it's like why I do the Hitler thing to Chris. Because it's like, you have university presidents resigning because I should never have to be offended, and I think, oh my God, like that's censorship of free speech.
And I can make up things that have happened on campus, and I don't even get in trouble for and I don't even lose my position as SGA president. But I mean, who am I to talk?
Right. No, I mean, you lived it more than anybody, and so like part of you has to see like the Donald going out and saying, my God, I just want to vote for him to watch how mad liberals get. Like, honestly, it's schadenfreude. I want other people. I'm enjoying other people's misery right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's because every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And multiculturalism and PC political correctness, they're rooster. Or, the crow, it's come home to roost in Donald Trump in American society.
Absolutely.
And that's what's going to happen to these internet warriors.
Yeah, very much.
I just love that you just spent 5 minutes passionately praising Donald Trump and Hitler. Oh, boy.
There is though that connection there though. You know, like for me, it was I did the Hitler to outrage and inflame.
Right.
Mm-hmm. For Donald Trump, the things he's running for president. He doesn't have a libertarian podcast.
Right.
You know, he's running for president, so he can't say so and so did nothing wrong.
Right.
He has to play upon the passions of the populist appeal
of the Christ.
Yeah, and like If I were Chloe, I'd be rooting for Don Trump more than anybody.
Meh. I mean, I like him to the extent of he tells journalists to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to say I like Donald Trump as a candidate just because, I don't know, a lot of the things that he says aren't. It's not that they're not PC. It's just that
they're mean.
They're mean.
They're hateful. Yeah,
they're very hateful.
They're not based. O'Donnell has an enormous dumpy ass.
Okay, well that might be okay. True. But
that's what shot him up the polls.
Oh right. Yeah. Originally, when he was just shutting down journalists and saying stop,
bye bye.
I know exactly what you're doing. I'm not going to play that game. Bye-bye. I mean, I respected him. Like as someone that studied journalism, I know all of the stupid tricks that journalists will, try to do to trip you up and to try to put words in your mouth. And I mean, he stopped it and he pissed a lot of people off. And I liked that.
Yeah. He wouldn't play there again. He dictates the terms.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like saying, unless I get $10 million to donate to Wounded Warriors, I'm not appearing on CNN.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that media mind where if he had said that, if you don't give me $10 million, he'd have lost all public support and he'd have plummeted in the polls.
Right.
By saying for Wounded Warriors, CNN out of nowhere, without a conversation ever happening, all of a sudden is the people who hate Wounded Warriors and don't want them to have $10 million because right. Donald Trump knows how to spend it. It's like when Harry Reid got mad or wouldn't do, what was it? He wouldn't pass that bill for, there was a rider attached that was going to fund kids that had cancer at Johns Hopkins.
Yeah.
And by not passing it, I remember immediately on going on We Are Libertarians and making a meme that said Larry Reid, or Harry Reid hates kids with cancer. You know, like, because... Donald plays it better than the Democrats and the press.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like you guys sound like these little beta friends who are just persecuted because they're not getting what they want. Ah, the media's not agreeing with me and being mean.
No, I think there are good people like Jake Tapper and George Stephanopoulos, and there are good people like that are analysts like Ezra Klein and George Will and Charles Krautheimer that give real thought, and I think Newt Gingrich does to an extent, when he's not running for anything. But then there are the people that are political operatives that sit on the forum type shows.
Right.
And those are the people who I like to watch hurt.
Oh, yeah.
It gives me great pleasure to watch Paul Krugman squirm when Donald Trump deports him because he looks Mexican. And that's terrible. And that's how atrocities happen. But it won't happen here.
I'm surprised.
He's not a fascist.
I'm surprised you like George Stephanopoulos.
You don't think
of
you don't
the
think,
people on Sunday Morning? He's the best.
You don't think that Donald Trump's a fascist?
Ezra Klein asked 5 history professors, the world's foremost authorities on fascism, if Donald Trump was a fascist, and they all said clearly no, because the telltale sign of fascism is you don't want democracy anymore.
Right.
So all these idiot liberals going around. Spouting off about fascism, the fundamental characteristic of whether or not you're a fascist is whether you want to suspend democracy.
No fascist before they take power ever says, I don't want democracy anymore.
He doesn't run for election. He brings in tanks and he wins.
No, that's not how hell your beloved Hitler did it. Hitler did it through the traditional way, working his way up the electoral system.
And then he suspended it.
Right. Donald Trump exhibits to me, if you listen to what he says, it just exhibits all the characteristics of a fascist.
He's a nationalist.
Do I think that he gets elected and becomes a fascist? No. It can't happen here.
The military already came out today and said that should there be in the United States, should we start deporting Mexicans and Muslims, we will not comply with that request.
Right.
So in a country where there's fascism, Germany after the Weimar Republic fell and their currency collapsed, people were so desperate and they needed a scapegoat, and he provided the perfect antidote.
This is too large of a country with too broad of a demographic base.
And not desperate enough.
Not desperate enough economically for fascism to truly happen. But I do see a guy who wants to control the media. He wants to to make laws on his own whim. He wants to crucify verbally, and therefore, if he had absolute power physically, he is Putin, American style.
But did you like the quote about the Muslims? Have you ever actually read the full quote?
I have not.
Me neither.
He says, we need to ban Muslims from coming into this country until Congress can get it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the immigration process.
According to his own specific
design. If it was
Hitler,
it would have said, we need to send the Muslims to camp.
All right.
Don't worry. We have trains. It's a nice facility. It'll be fine.
Like, just,
you know,
because he's not a Hitler fascist doesn't mean that he's not a fascist, though.
Well, he's saying make America great again. And what's that platform?
Aggressive nationalism.
No, it's free trade. So it's no longer setting up like NAFTA in 96 where all of a sudden American manufacturing that are labor intensive flees to Mexico because we are able now to have open borders and free trade while they currency manipulate.
Sure.
That isn't going to happen. Like, that's with Chinese steel. The reason Chinese steel has become dominant in the world is because the Chinese government subsidizes up to 80%.
Right.
So American steel workers, labor intensive, blue collar job where you can make a great living and provide for your family, evaporates because, oh, well, we can't put a tariff back on China for subsidizing their steel. Otherwise, they might not, they'll sit out the next treasury auction and not buy our debt.
Thanks for bringing up his aggressive patriotism and his economic protectionism. Another two classic traits of a fascist.
But this is a problem with, like, this is, I am a purist on free trade.
Mm-hmm.
It benefits everybody the most.
Of course.
That isn't what goes on. It's
right.
You end up sitting there being the martyr saying, well, we'll just tough it out until the world economically liberalizes, thinking that a trend of liberalization of economies is inevitable and that we're working towards some perfect free trade, open borders, no tariffs, no currency manipulation, utopia. The reality is the world ebbs and flows. I mean, you have, like Trump, who would have thought this was possible in the age of multiculturalism and acceptance? Right.
Yeah.
So you have to say, is it smart for me as a country to say, you know what, I'm going to take it on the chin. I'm going to create a program that retrains workers who are displaced in the idea, knowing that in the long run, it's actually better for the economy and America will benefit the most. If everything stays the same, that's correct. If the circumstances change where Mexico starts manipulating their currency, you just screwed a bunch of American workers with the best of intentions.
So I don't know if you can go back and listen, like in the background of that, but I edited it out. But Cornelius just started freaking out and meowing like crazy. So the three of us went into my bedroom, and then things got crazy.
It spooked. No. Like it was like Cornelius was freaked.
She was spooked by something. She was just meowing and couldn't be calmed down. She's a weird cat, anyways. But that was weird.
But she's usually like, you know, a predator cat, or I feel like, you know, stalking and not afraid of anything, like ready to attack.
Absolutely.
And whatever's got her freaked in there.
It's like a ghost was in there or something. Yeah.
She went beta quick.
I don't even know what we were talking about.
Oh, just about Trump's rise as a result of multiculturalism being forced down your throat.
So we're almost to 2 hours. We should probably start wrapping this up.
Yep.
Probably.
So, anything else, Greg?
No, I mean, the only reason I say that about the school shooters is, and that syndrome is, there isn't a solution. I mean, obviously, but like socialization is so important, and you know, self-awareness, you know, in schools, and not catering necessarily. Like for me, there's such a catering to someone saying like my sister teaches elementary school, and they do mainstreaming where they put the autistic kid. Children in class with the regular kids, and you're just all the kids are supposed
with
to
the regular kids
with the normal ones.
Well, yeah, the normies. but here's the reason I say that. And you know what? Yes, I'll say it because right. This is what's wrong. Is they're told, all the other kids are told to just pretend it's not happening. So someone can be freaking out, yelling, screaming, kicking, cursing at my sister, hitting her. Kids are supposed to ignore it because, listen, we're all not normal. We're all different and special, and some people just express it differently.
Yep.
And then he is told that my sister is informed that his trigger word is no.
Oh, that's going to work out well.
And yet you're judged based on your performance as an educator, based on having these kids that you didn't select tossed into your class, creating an aura of terror where you have no control. You can be punished physically. And yet, we have to be sensitive about how that kid perceives himself in relation to the other kids.
Yeah.
I told her, I was like, no, turn it right around, create a culture of terror on that kid. I told her, if that kid acted out, I'd have the entire class, we'd write a song with just the word no and sing it to him over and over. You know, lock him in a cage, and then everyone point and laugh till he quits barking. Like, granted, I shouldn't be an educator, but...
Clearly not.
Yeah, but I mean, there.
I learned something today.
Yeah,
I learned that Greg hates autistic children
and Aspies. Let's not leave them out.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, the balance has swung too far one way, and I don't think we see us. I think we've created a snowball that we need to stop now.
Yeah,
because this will carry on with kids or got people in their 40s. We only see it teens.
Well, the kids that are my brother's 26, I think. She's 23. I mean, these are the kids who got the trophies, the participation trophies. It kind of started when we were kids.
We're all president.
Yep.
First grade, day one, you all can be president.
There's
only been 44.
Right.
Yeah. Not all of you can.
Yeah, not all of you can be president. Some of you are just going to be really fucking stupid.
And you'll work at like Starbucks or McDonald's.
Right.
But Starbucks has a, you know, health plan.
But. Yeah. I, trust me, being a freelancer versus working at Starbucks, some days it's more benefit to working that 9-to-5 minimum wage job.
You just don't want it. You just are so afraid that I don't want people to think I'm an artist.
Right.
That'd be the worst scenario.
Okay. Yeah. Quit being a bunch of pussies, everybody.
Yep. And if And if you're going to complain, or, you know, if you're going to carry that torch, don't yell, scream, kick, and moan when people like Donald Trump show up on the scene and rational, normal, moderate Americans identify with his calls.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think you've seen with the Muslim thing, we've seen him get into trouble for saying bad shit about Muslims, and everybody's like, Trump's a racist. I'm like, no, I've been to tea parties since 2010. Yeah. I helped found the Indiana Tea Party here in Indiana. I've been to more tea parties than anybody ever.
I am racism, bro.
No, I have firsthand seen that Donald Trump is not the exception. He's the rule within the Republican Party.
Right.
Like this kid, Brian Kill, here in Indiana. Oh, well, there's the Muslim mosque right down the street. I bet it's ISIS that's perpetrating it.
Well, that's because he says in a comment, I want Sharia, while using the N-word and then, you know, all these curse words.
Right.
And you realize, you know, nothing in the Quran calls for the slaying of teenage girls that don't want to date you.
Right.
You know, you're just a loser that's preying upon... That really tipped me off, that he's preying upon the fears of the masses.
Yeah.
And this person's a sophisticated troll.
I also think that he's got to be kind of close to the family, because he really has it in for the mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet, while shaming her and posting public photos of her... Like, he could have posted a few days ago a photo of her topless.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, what he did is he blurred it all out. Still protecting her, but not... white knighting like a motherfucker. Not humiliating her fully, which shows me that he does have, like, he really does care about this girl to an extent.
Oh, I bet he, in his mind, has deluded himself that they're going to be together in the future, and she'll thank him for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
you're so right. I'm so sorry.
Right.
You just need somebody that appreciates you.
I know.
Right. Chloe, you have a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm, Pedro.
Wouldn't you love Pedro much more if he posted topless photos of you on the internet?
No.
Wouldn't that do it for you?
See, yeah, no. Absolutely not.
All right. Soapbox time. Get up on your soapbox. This is your time to self-promote. Talk about anything that we didn't talk about, a point that you may have missed in a previous topic. The floor is yours, little Chloe and Agnos.
Cool. I think we really went in depth over everything we wanted to talk about. You know, with the holiday season, just be kind. Be nice to people. Don't be a jerk if you're the jerk that has to go to the mall at the very last minute, because everyone's shopping. I was at the fashion mall the other day, and I mean, people were just rude. I mean,
the north side.
Well, and I mean, that's the north side. That's part of my problem. But, you know, people are rude. Just be kind. Smile.
Remember what, you know, it's Christ's birthday. Do unto others as you would have do unto you.
Absolutely. All of that good stuff. Sign up for the Advocates newsletter if you don't already. It's on our website, theadvocates.org. Instagram, Twitter handle, always the same, @Chloe_Anagnos. And that's all I got.
All right, thanks for that piece of shit.
Sorry, I didn't have time to adequately prepare.
This has been brought to you by the Advocates for Self-Government.
No, she was just saying be kind, so I figured I'd be rude.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Greg?
Whatever.
What was it? Oh, Bernie, I was going to give a shout out to actually Bernie. During the debate, he said that drug addiction should not be treated like a crime. It's a disease. And I thought that could not be closer. Like that should really influence Hillary's campaign, because that's another wave of popularity he's going to ride, another cause he's going to champion. Because even if you are the person, even if you think the government should have some intervention in drug use, at the bare minimum, I mean, it should be on rehabilitation, not putting you in there with, you know, hardened criminals who are going to make you better,
right,
and provide a free learning experience. So, you know, I really wanted to. It pains me sometimes, but good guy Bernie.
I have. I'm on a 2-week vacation, so I don't really give a shit about anything except sleeping. I slept from midnight until 2:30 this afternoon today. It was amazing.
How are you feeling right now?
I feel great.
Are you
actually
able to go to bed or
I'm a little tired. So we had Friday off, and we don't go back to the 4th. So Friday I took a 4-hour nap in the afternoon. I got 8 hours of sleep, and then I took a 2-hour nap. No, I took a 2-hour nap, slept another 10 hours the next night, took a 40-minute nap the next day, slept 10 hours, and then I slept, 14 hours last night?
So hibernation, really.
I must be super sleep deprived. So
it's because you're always up trolling till 11 and have to be up at
4:30 in the morning. Yeah, I troll till 11. I poon hound and then I go right to sleep.
Sliding in those DMs.
Yep, hitting up girls. Hey, baby, what's going on?
I see you're just what? You're a political science major.
Hey, girl, you want to come on my podcast?
You did totally pull that move on.
Totally on
Chloe's sister.
Oh yeah,
she is never coming on a podcast. Sorry.
Why not?
She doesn't have a car. How am I supposed to get her down here?
You're just trying to prevent our love.
Exactly.
Podcast and chill.
No. Yeah.
That's what we did with Chloe. I found out that Brett had a 23-year-old Miss Ball State working for him. I was like, you know what we ought to do, Greg? We ought to go do the podcast at the work.
And yeah, because you really, like, nothing had struck you in a while, and then all of a sudden it was like, we're podcasting Friday.
Yep.
And then I'm like, really?
And we're doing a remote.
Even though there's an EPA scandal? Like, you really want to talk about the EPA, you know, the Colorado River, I think?
I had just written an article.
Like this, yeah. Yeah, like, Spaniel's not very usually passionate about environmental things. Like,
and hey, Brett, you can have that, what's her name? Chloe. Oh, yeah, you can have Chloe on if
we'll
you want.
We'll help her promote.
Right. So...
how easily I was tricked.
Would and you then, like to join a podcast?
And then, like, what, within a week or two, we went to lunch or dinner or whatever?
Literally right after the podcast, we went to Bakersfield, all four of us,
right.
And ate. And then...
he gave you the hard sell.
Yeah.
And there we are.
Looking deep into her eyes, giving her the full charm.
And now I'm here.
And then we met up, like, a week later. Listen, I know what I'm doing.
Clearly.
But she's got a boyfriend, so...
yeah, you didn't know that the whole time. Otherwise, it would have been quite a different tale.
Worthless to me. I think Brett told me she had a boyfriend, but I said, I don't care.
Well, no, you asked who he worked for, and you're like, I definitely don't get that. No, but this is fun. We should make, like on the Jeff Bibbert show, they have Caitlin Kobeski's a co-host. We need more women.
Yeah.
You should be on more when your schedule permits.
Yeah, absolutely. Now that things at work have slowed down, please just tell me.
Cool.
It's easy for me to get here now that I know how to drive in.
We're
going to
try every Thursday night at 6 to about 8, and get something knocked out that we're outraged about or that's wrestling our jimmies and do a show.
We're going to try and be more diligent in the new year, meaning I will try to be more diligent in the new year. We're going to try and – I think if we do it a little earlier,
that's
better.
Big key.
Because like last Tuesday night when Jeff started his at 5 and we started right at like 5:30.
Done at 8.
And then everybody's gone and then I was like, I'm so tired, what time is it? And I looked at Emily and I go, holy shit, it's 8:00.
Did you just say a name of a female on the first time for a show?
Oh yeah, I did.
Edit that out.
Nah, it's all right. Whatever. Leave it in. So I was like, it's only 8:00. We've got to start doing Weird Libertarians.
At 5.
Sooner. Yeah, because it's like 10:00 almost.
Yeah, our real problem is we, you know, catch up for an hour usually
before
you know.
Let's stop all that.
Did you see this meme?
All right, kids. Thanks for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. Love you guys. We'll talk
Merry
to you
Christmas.
Soon. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Good new Feliz Navidad. Guten Tag.
Joe, Aria.
Guten Tag and Feliz Navidad.
Joya Noel.
There
Joya Noel.
Oui.
Happy Hanukkah from Greg.
L'chaim.
All right, talk to you later. As always, we promise
to do better next time.